Hello and welcome to episode 300 of Muse on Minis.
Music and the music.
This is John and I play Protector Domenoff.
This is Josh and I play Mercs.
Nigel and I play Kador.
Crump and Red.
Chad, Overwatch.
God damn, I chose.
This is Keith and I play Signar and Retribution.
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't play Retribution yet.
It'll happen. It's you wait.
I 100% believe that.
I do too.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Ret is a really strong faction right now. It seems like exactly the kind of thing Keith would play.
It takes one Halley 3 dynamic update and Keith is out.
Get dynamic updated, did she?
No. Not yet.
No, not yet.
But she is now coming. She is now the best caster in the game.
Well, I mean, basically, as soon as you win a tournament with anything now, you got to be on edge.
That's pretty bad.
It's coming.
Hey, High Reclaimer didn't win anything.
I really wish Tom would have won with his, like, Una one running a Storm Raptor so that they would have dynamic updated the Storm Raptor.
You're right. High Reclaimer didn't win anything, but we did complain about him a lot, which also says to me that if we basically complain about stuff a lot, like, it's good to go.
Right.
Yay, the internet.
Yeah, if either you win something or a podcast complains about it, you are screwed.
So,
I don't feel like that's true.
Can we just take, like, money?
Those
like,
are PP's words.
PP's words.
Not ours.
I also don't think that's true.
No. I will happily take campaign contributions to speak poorly about.
These are alternative War Machine facts.
Right.
We should, we were talking about the dynamic update that happened last week, which came out literally hours after we finished recording last week's
true
episode.
True to form.
So
I mean, that has happened a million times.
I'm
for
pretty
us.
Sure they've got taps in here and they specifically.
I think it's happened.
What do you guys think? Because I'm super pumped. Like, I saw this update and was just like, it's perfect. Yeah. Like, they
nailed it.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was really good.
I think it was really, really well done. I feel like the changes to High Reclaimer are a little unnecessarily restrictive for his feet. I wish it was 3 inches of another model in the unit like it was in Mark II instead of 3 inches within the commander or the leader of the unit. Because having played Zealots have that ability in Mark II, and placing models back within 3 inches can be very difficult.
I didn't realize because I thought that it was within three. I thought that it was basically like, I stopped reading it. Basically.
Place those models completely within 3 inches of their unit commander and completely in the High Reclaimer's control range.
I would have been
more restrictive than I thought it was, but I still think that it's fine.
I would have been okay with your change if they took away your ability to bring back UAs. Like, the leader of the unit needs to be where the leader of the unit is, period.
It still brings back UAs.
Yeah, so given that you can bring back the UA, it needs to be the
But latest. I can't kill the UA and bring it back in the same turn, so
I understand that.
Your opponent doesn't
But you can
have
kill it the turn before you want to bring your stuff back.
Maybe.
You would have. You would have done that.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know.
Yeah, they're a little.
I mean, they still get to activate that turn. You still have Hand of Fate. It's fine.
It's actually just less restrictive on placing.
I know. I'm just saying that. Like, I think the change is a good change, and I'm not upset about it.
No, I know.
But it's. I think a little. It will make using the feet very awkward at times.
Sure,
which is fine. But
why can you still bring back UAs?
I mean, I think I don't have a huge issue with that, given the fact that now.
No, it's just the inconsistency.
But I agree with
Josh,
though.
It's not inconsistent, though, because every true resurrection feat allows that.
Allows what?
You can revive
bringing
UAs?
Back UAs.
He's talking about feats.
No, every resurrection feat.
Okay.
High Reclaimer, Morvana 2, Gorshade 2. All do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not unusual.
Yeah, and I mean, even if you could bring back the leader, I don't think it really matters because you still have to daisy chain.
The problem with the feat was that you were able to get anywhere you wanted the turn after, or when you feated with Hand of Fate troops that hit hard. That was the problem with the
feat.
But
if you literally had to place it within 3 inches of another model of the unit, can't get anywhere you want.
Prior to this, could you kill your own guide or chieftain that grants prey and then res him and then redefine prey?
No, it wouldn't redefine. It would bring it back on whatever was preyed beforehand.
Okay. Although if that target had been destroyed and you brought it back, then you would get to nominate a new prey target.
Well, that's the same as it just getting destroyed.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because you would miss your window if the guy wasn't in play when he got destroyed. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
So then when he does come back, then you do get to nominate
him. That seems inconsistent.
I'm sure that it's just a rule.
It's not like comes into play in Magic.
I mean, it might even be that you have to elect a new prey even if the guy is dead.
Yeah, that was the inconsistent part.
But, like, I'm sure that nobody plays it that way, and I'm sure that nobody's asked that question on the rules forum. Mm-hmm. So it might just be a matter of that question needing to be clarified.
I might be wrong.
But, like, it's a minor, like, whatever. Yeah. I mean, I think the thing is just, like, his feet. I don't know. This is, to me, it's a good change in that It's like, it's kind of like the Madrek 2 change. Like, his feat was really good at, like, basically everything before, because it was, like, anti-attrition. You brought, like, this, you know, this huge percentage of your army back from the dead permanently. So now, you know, work that your opponent had prior, like, you know, done in prior turns is now undone. On top of that, they get to activate, and they get, like, this huge forward placement, and they get all of this, like, and so they get, so it was, like, anti-attrition, assassination potential, huge attrition potential, because you actually just kill their stuff, like, on top of bringing your own stuff back. And they decided that, you know, that was just too much, you know, like, that's, it should probably do one of those three things or whatever. And it's still a good, like, they can still activate, right?
When yeah, yeah, no, it's still a fine feat. Like I said, it's just a little awkward. Having played Zealots in Mark III a little bit, that 3-inch restriction is pretty rough at times.
I'm not saying it's not. I think that it's a fine.
Yeah. There's a difference between bringing back 7 Zealots and bringing back 3 Cav members.
Yeah, but
as far as, like, it depends, hard to place.
The 3 Cav members have to have, like, a place to land, and that's not always easy without order of operation issues.
Sure. It's not fully within 3, right? It's just within. I think it's just within.
No, it's completely.
It's completely.
Oh, yeah.
That's
that
what
hurts.
I mean. It's pretty restrictive.
For Cav. Eh, whatever.
I mean, it's fine. I think he's still a fine feat.
He got off light compared to Kador.
So. I think, yeah, I don't know. To me, it's like all of those, like, the reason I think it was such a slam dunk for the dynamic, the dynamic update in aggregate was the thing that I'm the most worried about every time they come in and they do their adjustments is it's, you always see these moments where it's like they'll touch something that it didn't matter. Like, who cares that the Night Troll is mat 6 now? Like,
right.
Nobody gives a crap. Or they will take something that was good and then just completely, like, destroy it. Like,
mad dog it.
Yeah, mad dog it. And these changes are all, like, I think that all of the things that they changed are still good. Like, they're still fine. They're still playable. They're just not ridiculous anymore, which is
so I actually think they're probably all still pretty strong.
Yeah,
you are. Sorry, I had to go look up, like, the rules for this. You are still supposed to switch preys over even, like, when your unit no longer has prey.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like,
okay,
yeah, that's just weird.
Good to know.
Yeah, this was a lighter touch than they've taken with nerfs prior. I actually still think, probably more so in Tuna's case than High Reclaimer's, that they might have gone a bit too far. But she now fits into a realm of Circle Caster that was previously pretty sparse, which is the good caster. Not great, but not bad either.
Yeah, she's not
a... And Circle's bench is kind of lacking in the good casters. Like, she's probably hanging out with Tanith now, which is it's an okay place to be.
I mean,
she's not cracking into the competitive top, nor is she hanging out with, like, Kaya 1 in the bottom.
Well, the reality is, though, you can still trade 8-point Griffins for 20-point heavies. I mean, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, she's still good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's still a Hand of Fate caster, right?
Yeah.
She's still...
Yeah, she's Mirage, Windwall.
Well, right. it was the same thing with her feat as with High Reclaimer's feat. It was just like, this feat did everything.
Right.
Like, it was a huge, like, Alpha Strike feat. And on top of that, it was this, like, this nightmare, quagmire, you can't do any, your opponent can't do anything turn, which is the worst.
I will say, you know, I did make the point, you can trade 8-point Griffins for 20-point heavies. Well, her feat was trade each 8-point Griffin for 2 20-point heavies originally, which is a little egregious.
Right. So.
Or just... feet and
yes and no, because you always have to have flank, so it's not like a 1-for-1.
No, it's usually,
depending on spacing, it can be 2-for-1.
It's like 16 point Griffins for a 20.
I mean, you also had the Haley to try to kill their caster feet, get to kill their caster again, like, sort of.
Yeah, play, no, I mean, her previous feat was far too strong. I'm not saying leave it alone, I'm saying it would have been nice if it had kept perhaps some measure of defense.
I literally wish
if their objective was to maintain her as a highly competitive caster.
I still think she's...
Which I don't think she is anymore.
I do. Yeah, Circle finally got that much needed someone to hold Kaya 3's beer, which now I got it. Kaya 3 can just take over. And
That's kind of the problem. I wish her...
I think Kaya 3 is stronger in most cases, and having played against Kaya 3, I'm not even convinced that she's that strong.
I wish they would have not... just nerfed the feet. The no attack part was dumb. I wish they would have had it so that, like, Warbeast and her battle group can cast their Animi for free or something.
I actually particularly loved the change to her feet because I felt like it got rid of the egregious nature of it, and then it also happened to still be, like, rules forward but very thematic. Like, the whole idea, right, is, like, her feet is, like, all these griffins taking off skyward and plummeting down. So, like, can't hit them while they're, like, up in the sky, but as soon as they come down and attack, then you can, like, it just, I was pleased with the errata in general, and I thought, I look at Una 2, and, or, you know, I guess she's really Una the Greater. But I don't know. I feel like her list before was built just for the feet because the feet was so dumb. And now you'll her see list. Some other builds. And the only thing that I think that will keep her from showing up will be Gaia 3.
I don't know. Hand of Fate's really dumb. So if Circle players can find a way to apply Hand of Fate and swap it or cycle it, like there might be other list builds there that are really good.
Yeah.
Blood Trackers or, you know, whatever.
Right. Tom Gwen was putting it on Wolf Riders at first.
Yep.
Yeah, I imagine that's amazing. They have a lot of initials, really, right? So
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, like, how the meta shifts. Gosh, we're sort of scatterbrained about it. We're kind of going all over, but... I really like
the idea of them using the dynamic updates to address big concerns, like, balance as they happen. Yes. Yeah. So they're going to be mostly nerfs, and they're probably going to be mostly following big conventions where they get the most data and they can see the most, you know. If you go to a convention and 50% of the field is all playing the same caster, not the same faction, the same caster, then that's probably, and then they also fill in the top ranks of all the tournaments, then that's probably a prime target for getting something changed.
I just realized.
But then they can use the errata, like they can still have the normal errata cycle, and they can use that to prop up the rest of the game and to really balance out, like, and flesh out the game. And I think that's a really... I'm super excited for the future of War Machine now.
I agree.
Like, when I saw this...
Overall, I am too. Yeah. I think the next errata, the next couple erratas are going to be really telling, because I think I see this sentiment a lot on the forums, and I full-throatedly agree with it myself, that more importantly than continuing to find... Because there's always going to be the next thing that's slightly above the curve. There's going to be something that's slightly above the curve, but they've got it to the point now where nothing is really too far above the curve. There's actually a thread in the main forums right now that's called "Do My Eyes Deceive Me? No More Boogeymen." And I mostly agree with that.
Mostly. I think there's potentially two.
So I want to see them move away from smashing down the models above the curve to bringing up the models below the curve, because there are so many more of those.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all, Keith. I think we might have two more.
You get out of,
like,
here.
Like boogeyman issues in the meta.
Get out of here.
We'll see.
But, well, Josh, who do you think are problems right now?
Vlad.
Get out of here. This is not a problem.
Vlad and maybe Haley 3. Though I think Haley 3 is probably...
There's no way she's better for the meta than Vlad.
I think she's probably better for the meta than Vlad. I think... I think Haley 3 is probably exactly where you want
the top tier caster to be. Then Vlad's probably
Probably. She does invalidate a number of lists.
I love how you could always tell what Josh was most recently touched by.
I don't really know if that's true.
I'm somewhat enheartened by the fact that I know Privateer is so proud of Haley 3 that they're unlikely to change her.
I'm just waiting for...
Good.
Like, they're hitting, by and large, casters. Can't wait till they, like, get Eye of Truth. Like, actually, part of me, legitimately,
that's 100% coming.
You remember when they were like, we're going to accept player feedback now. I'm wondering if they're just releasing blatantly broken models and just, like, letting the tournaments go and then just being like, oh, okay, that's not okay. We got to, like, they're just like, screw, we don't need to test it. Like, it'll just work itself out, and then, like, we'll just hit it with a hammer.
So 6 months of buying the new Old Witches faction then, and then...
I mean, that could be a way of doing it.
I really wish that they would do
Well, those are going through CID before they get released.
Are they? There you go.
That's my understanding.
Well, that's what they said. They said from now on they're going to be doing kind of field tests for all of their future releases, which I don't know whether that's true or not. And I might have been misquoting that, but I know that they will never, ever, ever do this. But my dream world is if basically they did what they did to Scorn to every faction. Like, I think that would be amazing.
Good.
And it doesn't need to all happen at once. It could be like, you know, they could roll them out like a couple of months at a time, you know, or like a couple of months in between or whatever.
Even
like,
if they
take their time with it.
One Scorn a year.
Yeah.
Like that was sprucing everybody up.
I would hope maybe a little bit quicker than that. But, you know, just because it was such a breath of fresh air, like reading that Scorn, and like, and everyone pretty much agrees that like they did a good job with the Scorn.
Well, I think we all hope that that's what Mark III was going to be.
That's exactly what I wanted out of it.
And I think that with the exception of maybe Retribution, Scorn was the first one to actually get Mark III.
Yeah.
Like, in all honesty.
That's just all I want. Like, that's my dream. That's my dream is just if they could do that for every single faction, I think that would be incredible.
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit, Josh, in that I feel like Protectorate's in a really good spot. They have a really deep lot of options.
Yeah, there's Protectorate. Retribution is great. Protectorate is pretty good.
I think Kotor is pretty good. They have a lot of playable casters.
Yeah. I think what and more Josh is alluding to is like stuff actually changed. Menoth, you're by and large playing the same models, except for the models that were really, really good in Mark II are now like crap, and the models that were unplayed in Mark II are now like good.
I mean, they changed
some. Why are they still unplayed?
They changed some things pretty significantly.
Like Idrians.
Yeah.
And like Idrians and Zealots have flopped, or Idrians and Errants have flopped.
Sure.
Like completely.
Sure.
But like Vindictus, for example, is a much better caster now. And he changed quite a bit. Thyra is a much better caster.
I mean, not to get too bogged down. I'm not saying that literally nothing changed.
I'm just
For some factions it did. Like that. I mean, it's because it's been uneven. From my experience. Like looking
for sure.
And like I said, I'm not playing the game as much anymore. So this is all like me looking in through the window and making armchair judgments. But not every faction changed to the same degree.
Yeah.
Like a lot of troll casters didn't change like hardly at all. And in the new environment, like, that's just disappointing. Like when you like are looking at this whole new environment, and especially when you're looking at other factions where like their casters did change significantly, and then you're just like, why did they get it but not me?
Yeah,
you know. And I'm not saying like I want my casters to be amazing, but like they should be new. They should be new to the edition, you know.
Yeah.
Rather than just
no, I agree.
Like that's all I'm saying.
No, so. I mean that's fair.
The only circle ones that see play are like the ones that got touched, like by and large.
Yeah, I was looking at Chromac 1 the other day, and I was like, I wonder what happened to this guy. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So he's probably still good.
Same with Baldur 1, actually. Same with Baldur 2.
Entirety of the Mercenaries catalog. Every single one of my casters is essentially exactly the same caster.
The only one that really got touched in Circle was Wormwood.
Yeah.
And then they've just been playing the new casters because they're bonkers. Yeah.
It was like Gunbjorn got buffed, and then Madrek 2 weirdly got buffed and then nerfed, but still probably maybe buff from how he used to be.
Yeah.
And then all the other trollcasters either, like, and Kalandra, I guess, got +1 Fury, which is pretty big. But, like, all the other trollcasters are basically, like, the same or got massively nerfed.
Yeah.
I guess Gristle 2 also got
buffed. There's some minor changes here and there, but yeah. Yeah.
Like, Gristle 1 got
only
really destroyed.
The only cast that got better is Venethrax.
Yeah.
Scabrous didn't get better? He was so bad. How did he not get better?
Scabrous
got better.
I still think I don't know about Scar 2.
Coven might have got better.
No, they didn't, actually. Worse.
I was going to say, I thought they were essentially the same.
Scar 2 might be better just by the virtue of the feet.
Anyway,
while being different can hit Colossal.
Sorry, I totally bogged us down. That's my bad. I'll take I'm jumping on the grenade for this one. Sorry, listeners. But yeah, is there anything else for the dynamic update? Did we talk about the Nigel's sad face?
Mortenebra and Daryllus got changed.
Ooh, Daryllus.
So Daryllus used to have Spellslave, and Mortenebra had, if not the worst spell list for Spellslave, a contender. Real strong contender
for the
worst spell list for Spellslave. She had Doom Spiral, which is a range 8 POW 12, that if it hits a Warjack, the Warjack's controller takes D3 damage, which then Junior will spend to focus. Her other spell was a range 10 POW 13 AoE 3, so a little bit more exciting as far as nukes go. The AoE remains in play and prevents spell casting when you're inside of it. This was Voidgate, which used to be like a AoE 4 that stopped spending focus or being forced inside of it, so it used to be a lot more exciting. For focus allocation or being forced, I think, would stop.
Yeah.
And so now that's a pretty bad spell. And so that was the only two things Daryllus could take, and Mortenebra paid that price in her Warjack points, basically exactly. She was just down about four or five points for this Scarlock that she did not want at all. So they changed Daryllus to now have just abilities on his own. They put Doom Spiral on his card for the people that were really sad that they wouldn't be able to cast Doom Spiral anymore.
Well, it's also nice for him to just have a gun
to have it, sure,
when he wants it.
They put Empower on him, so he can add a focus to a Warjack, which is really nice. And they put Tune-Up on him, which is actually interesting.
I mean,
an actual interesting ability where Crix players were like, ooh, which of our Jacks do we want to tune up? We could tune up Malice or a Reaper
or a Spray
to
Chicken.
Fully boost the drag shot.
This happened in the update?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
I did not see that at
just
all.
No one
totally
just
missed that.
Gloss right past
Well, the weird thing is that this doesn't feel like an emergency balance fix.
No.
This feels
It
would if you were reading the Crix forums at all.
My God, it does hold true if you just complain.
The amount of rage over Spellslave, and particularly Spellslave on Daryllus, was real high.
I mean, you're right. It does make sense. You're forced into taking a Scarlock that you don't want.
Yeah.
And then there was there was a fairly off-color comment made about how Crix players had to like get used to their... Yeah, there was a stupid car reference. Basically, that we were stuck with Kias where we used to have Cadillacs and we could all just go cry in a corner, basically, from Jason Souls. And people didn't take that very well for whatever reason.
Wow.
Hmm. Why do they let him out in public?
I also like that Jason Souls...
or
like,
write poetry.
And his high-end automobile is a Cadillac. It's not like... Yeah. Way to go, Jason. Imported from Detroit.
Did you come up with any good tune-up targets?
So the tune-up targets that people are talking about, which I think are interesting, are either the drag jacks, because then you get a fully boosted drag shot, and when they get to you, you still have your three focus for melee.
Yeah. Cool.
Or, of course, the Kraken has an AoE 5 gun.
The unicorn cannon. Mm-hmm.
Tune-up now is just fully boost attack and damage rolls on your first attack.
Yes, your first attack. Spray chicken.
On your next basic attack?
Basic attack. That's correct. Next basic attack. I also think... Even though we said the Horde's version would be called Bone Up, I think the Crix version should have been called Bone Up.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. You're right. They could have shared it with us.
The thing that made people the maddest about Daedalus wasn't that the nukes were bad. It was that because of the way they changed Spell Slave, so that the verbiage about the attached Warcaster is considered to have cast the spell is gone. So Daedalus... Yeah, I know it's very sad. So Daedalus... He could cast, but it had no effect for him to cast Overrun because it referenced the spellcaster's battle group. And
oh my
Daryl's
god, that's
not have
so bad.
Yep.
So the Jesus. One useful
like,
thing,
Overrun.
The one useful thing,
but I can't
could've...
target anything with Overrun because they're not in my battle group. Yeah.
That's so depressing.
That'd have been like the one useful thing he could have done.
Yeah. Go ahead, Keith.
It was what he did in Mark II. That and swap around her armor buff, which he can't do anymore because that's an upkeep. So yeah, people were pretty. Displeased with their list.
I kind of wish that caster attachments were members of the battle group. I feel like it would make things kind of cleaner. They already, in War Room, you assign them underneath the caster, like every part of the battle group. They're attached to the caster.
Yep.
Like, it would make it neater. It'd be nice if I could take, you know, 4 points out of my Warjack points and, assign it to my Warcaster, like, attachment. I don't know.
Oh, my God. My hero faction gets synergy.
I don't know about that part, but, like, they should at least be part of a battle group.
They should be, I think. I think they should be. But
a lot of new players.
Some of them used to be. In fact, Daedalus used to be.
Yeah. Well, it's weird that if you're a Warcaster unit, your unit members are part of your battle group. But if you take an attachment, it's not part of your battle group. It's just weird.
It's slightly, slightly not intuitive.
Right. So Doomshaper 3's caster attachment is part of his battle group.
Yeah. Right.
Because he's arbitrarily a unit with it.
Right.
Yep.
Which is weird because it shouldn't.
But yeah, in particular.
Like Evo and Finch.
Yeah.
In particular, Spell Slave, because I was looking at some of the things with Pillow Pants, and it's just like, I think there's one or two examples of casters that you go with that it's like a battle group spell, like the Daedalus thing, and it's just like, well, it'd be sweet if I could cast this, but nope.
Spell Slave is just depressing now.
So, I feel like I have a weirdly unique like position on this, because the Rune Bearer had once per game Spell Slave in Mark II, and then it just got upgraded to full on Spell Slave in Mark III, but now Spell Slave like is not as good as it used to be. So it's like I get both sides of it, because on the one hand, like, there are times where occasionally like I would have, you know, the Rune Bearer would only exist to cast one upkeep early on in the game, just so that my caster wouldn't have to spend focus fury so that I could power the Creel Stone up a little bit quicker or whatever.
Right.
That I can't do that anymore. And it's just like, But then there are times where my Rune Bearer is just like Kamehameha-ing people like left and right and like shooting fireballs and just like being awesome.
Right.
Or like casting Guided Hand or casting, you know, whatever, like Boundless Charge, like over and over and over again. And it's just like, this guy's like, oh, Spell Slave is like the sweetest ability ever. And so, yeah, I can see both sides of it, where I guess if you were, I can see how a Crix player, how you would be real salty.
Well, if you used to drive a Cadillac.
Exactly.
I mean, particularly
everywhere.
It particularly sucks for Scorn players, because there is like literally nothing you want to Spell Slave.
Yeah.
So it's just it's like 6 points of just, all right, see you, Markath. Like,
I don't know Scorn well enough to argue that, but.
Yeah. Basically, everything you want them to cast is an upkeep, and like their offense, like. He's, you don't want
to have,
well, the other
have,
thing that I mean is that Harmonious Exaltation is sweet, so that's what the Rune Bearer is like 90% of the time anyway, but
yeah. Scorn's got one caster with mortality, right? One or two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
One of the mortals.
That's like, that is the best Spell Slave spell that it still exists.
Yep.
So.
And I think Pillow Pants is maybe a 7, so
maybe.
And can he still
being
boost?
Able to mortality with a 7 is that I don't remember for sure.
I think he can still boost if he has the souls.
He can still upkeep a spell for free, too, so he does get in there on the upkeep, whatever, but he's like a five or six point attachment.
Let me rephrase.
Yeah. That hurt.
It sucks a lot that your caster attachment in Scorn is basically with one caster only.
Right.
Or two, maybe.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
yeah,
for sure.
Like, yeah. Whereas before it was like 50%.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah. Some of them had upkeeps you wanted to
Well,
swap.
It used to be that you're just like, which one of my two gets Pillow Pants? Because they both want him. And character restrictions. And now it's like, haha, you can take him in every list, but you don't want him anymore.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was also, how to say this, as a Signar and Crix player, it's like the Signar players, we still have our Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Crix players are stuck with this Kia.
Yeah.
So it's like,
John just keeps thinking, what's wrong with Kias? They're Korean.
They drift really well.
It's actually not true.
I don't know. Anyway, I'm also annoyed. This is completely tangential and my bogus, but whatever. Plowing forward. I'm still annoyed by the fact that all Hordes factions only have like one choice of attachments, and like War Machines have like two or three.
I only have one choice.
What? You got two?
You have Corbeau, Reinhardt, and Silas.
Yeah.
Spoiled little.
I guess I am pretty spoiled.
Yeah. You just used some Mark II where you had one.
Where I had one, right. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Crix has two. Signar has three.
Protector has two.
Signar has four.
They can take Silas, too.
Yeah, you get all.
Take Corbeau and Silas.
Yep. You get all the Merc plus the Squire.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. You guys should get more attachments.
Yeah.
It's not as bad for trolls because the Rune Bearer is one of the best attachments. Or it's one of the better attachments.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could like take Targ?
But for Scorn, like, yeah, that sucks.
Maybe if this new Old Witch faction is kind of like a Minions Cephalix.
I don't think they will be, but maybe.
Yeah.
All right, let's power through the rest of these dynamic updates.
Let's get Nigel's sweet one out.
Well, hold
way.
On.
Oh, we're going to save that for last.
We're saving the best for last.
Okay.
Scarsfell Griffins also got nerfed, which blows.
This I thought was unnecessary.
Yep. Like, they hit Una hard enough, so it's like, cool.
Yeah.
My opponent gets to play a game now.
Yeah.
Because, like, she kills your stuff, but then those Griffins just explode.
And their argument of, like, the other Griffins were getting overshadowed, I get. That's fine. That doesn't mean you had to make the Scars feel worse. You could have made them better.
No, Rotterhorns are complete garbage now.
Because you're still not going to take those Griffins.
Not at all. Like, yeah.
Rotterhorns are garbage.
You're just like well, now I don't want any Griffins.
Just garbage.
Well, no, you're just going to keep taking all the same Griffins. They're just worse now.
Right.
Like, that's the
and
worst.
Nobody was taking Griffins before.
Right.
So
right.
It's not like, except a couple in Tanith, I guess, and then Kaya 3 would probably take some.
It's mostly a kick in the nuts for Una 1, but other than that, it's not as relevant for the other ones. But
oh, because the long leash gave
long leash matters a lot on juniors.
Rather, 16-inch. Yeah.
Well, especially when your Griffin has to work melee-wise. Like,
right.
A lot of the other juniors can get away with like a ranged.
Yeah, basically nobody puts a melee beater on one of their journeymen.
Yep.
Well, except
like
for this,
Scorn just doesn't
guy.
Take theirs. I'm pretty sure they just don't take them.
Yeah.
I mean, Scorn hasn't. I did play him with the Beast Packs for a little while. That was kind of cute. But anyway, go ahead.
Same with Trolls.
Gaston gets something with a gun.
Yeah.
Probably a Vanguard.
Mule. I like him best with a Mule.
Mule or maybe a Buccaneer. Like,
yeah.
Something lightweight with a gun.
Not a Nomad, probably.
Junior, always something with a gun. Jake's always something with a gun.
Dirt, like Tristan.
Usually a Redeemer.
Yeah,
but I have
Tristan gets two Redeemers.
But I have seen
yeah, he does.
People use him with like a Templar or an Indictor because he's got Fortify.
Sure.
So
yeah, you can definitely.
But Protectorate is fairly unique in their ability to protect him as well.
That's true.
But yeah, that was it. It sucked. It seemed unnecessary. Like, just make the other Griffins not utter garbage.
It was the literal only part of the entire Errata where I was just like, you didn't need to do that.
I mean,
okay.
Yeah. Besides the High Reclaimer change, right?
No. The literal in the way that it used to mean literal only.
The High Reclaimer change felt so good to read because I was like, the frustration was built up so much from the Errata. Just like,
I 100% thought the Errata was, this was only going to be Una. Like, I thought that was the whole, like, you're just going to get an Una 2 nerf. And then I was just like, I open it and then the light from the heaven shone down. And I was just like, well, like, after the Scorn Errata and then this, my faith is restored.
Well, and not even the fact that, like, all of these specific changes, which I think are good. I love all these specific changes. But the fact that it happened in the, like, right when we needed it,
yeah.
you know, like, it's like, yeah. that's so exciting because it's like moving forward. It's never, you're just never going to be bogged down in that, like, ugh.
I mean,
you know,
when the sun rose, we looked to the west and there was Gandalf.
I mean, we super
it stopped us
it.
From buying 50 Marauders, I guess.
I was for like about 3 weeks, I was watching several YouTube videos on different other game systems. 100%. Like, I was. Real
you
close.
Were shopping around.
I was shopping around more seriously than I've ever done before. And this Aretta.
Josh was over on AshleyMadison.com trying to find something on the side.
I was. I was. And this Aretta, put an end to my philandering ways. For now. For
now. All right.
So you guys were going to buy like 50 Marauders for the ATC?
We were talking like, about it.
This was a savior for one, that reason. Because we were like all going to be super stupid. And then two, none of us actually knew what we were going to play. So having the extra 7 days was a huge boon.
I mean, I had my list, and Keith was always going to play what he's going to end up playing.
Except John. He may or may not need
John
like,
needs probably another like 15 to 20 days. Oh, yeah.
No, he doesn't need him anymore because it was literally for Una.
The Devil Dogs are garbage now.
Yeah,
well, they also just don't work.
Did you get your high shield?
Yeah, I was all in on
I did. I got my high shield. Thanks, everybody.
With 10 Marauders. It's going to be amazing.
Sorry.
All right, so on to Kador and the... What killed the Marauder Spanish?
They're heavy-handed. This is where they went wrong. They stepped off the reservation and went overboard.
Sad.
Yeah.
So
this erratic called for moderation, and they just went ham all over the place.
So they changed. A lot of people don't think this is relevant, but they changed the Winter Guard command theme force to the Winter Guard one, which is...
They changed the least fluffy.
Apparently, Winter Guard can't command jacks anymore.
Right. So,
which is stupid. Because the whole fluff was that it was a Winter Guard jack factory. And so all the jacks before every battle would advance move out of the factory so that the Winter Guard could come up behind them.
Right.
It sucks when they change when they nerf your stuff for fluff reasons, doesn't it?
Well, no, it was in there for fluff. And now they nerfed it despite the fluff. So now it's like I feel like I'm playing a.
You're on my same page.
Exactly.
Right?
There's a fluff dissonance happening.
Yeah.
Anyway. You can't sack pawn to the battle engine anymore.
Dumb.
Or to Grigorovich, right?
No, you can sack pawn to Grigorovich. He's just a dude.
It doesn't say
no,
grunt.
No, it's trooper.
It says trooper. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Damn it. You can't sack to Grigorovich.
Yeah. No, you can sack to him. He's a trooper.
Is he a trooper?
Yeah.
I thought troopers were members of units.
No, grunts are members of units.
Oh, okay.
Troopers are literally everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except for the battle engine.
Wait, are they? Isn't it warrior?
I don't warrior cares. Models, everyone.
I don't think you can sack to Grigorovich if it says trooper.
No, you 100% can.
I'll look it up in a minute.
High Reclaimer's feet says troopers, so almost positive.
Says it still?
Oh, okay.
Right now it says... Crap, I don't actually know because it only changed one thing. Anyway, so you can't sack pawn to the battle engine anymore. And then the more depressing part is every warjack in the army just had advance move.
Yep.
So people were just going to take all jacks and no winter guard and just have their Kador jacks start 11 inches or 14 inches up the table. But now it's for every winter guard unit, one
there,
heavy gets
there was already a Harkovich 10 Marauder list. And then he randomly, when the tier list came out, he's like, oh, thanks, dude, for like no change in this list. I'll take 4 free extra inches. But and they got rid of that.
Yeah, it was just plus 4 inches of deployment.
Yep.
Whereas now, and Nigel's complaining, except that I played into his Vlad version of this theme force the other, 2 days ago, and he advance moved both of the jacks that he had in his army. He's like, I could, if I had 3 more jacks, advance move them too, but I don't, so I won't. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, the only logical actual reason why this is a bad errata or a bad change nerf is that Kador had, I don't know when our book's coming out. But this one tier list effectively made 2 different tier lists because they're going to come out with a jack list that'll probably have this bonus and then or some sort of, 2 extra inches of deployment or some sort of.
My favorite part is they're actually preventing pissing off a lot of people because some of the erratas recently have been buy all this thing, like nerf it into the ground.
Right.
And you can only do that so many times.
Right.
They literally say we found that the ability to sack pawn to the gun carriage, da 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 da. Requiring the inclusion of Winter Guard units to receive the advanced move benefit will increase list diversity while heading off potential abuses of this theme force.
Yeah, the abuses that we were going to
take
advantage of at the ATC.
Yeah.
And now we're all going to play our own factions instead.
We were kind of avoiding talking about it for a while because we were planning on bringing basically 50 Marauders to the ATC. But this that list highlighted for me perhaps my greatest disappointment that I've experienced in Mark III, because I set Harkovich down across from Asphyxius 2. And I set it across down from Asphyxius 2, not with like a mixed force. It was Asphyxius 2 with 20 Mechanithralls and 28 Bane, or like 18 or 24 Banes. It was either 10, 8, 8, or just it was a bunch of Bane. And he almost lost on scenario, but ended up losing to me killing his entire army while five or six of my heavies were still alive.
Yeah.
And that he was the alpha predator of heavy armor. Like, if you brought a bunch of low defense heavy armor, he was going to run you over. And now he doesn't.
It's because Marauders are too cheap.
Made me so sad.
What was the thing about troopers?
I just looked it up. High Reclaimer's Feat brings back troopers. So troopers are, in fact, UA's character models.
They're not solos, yeah,
troopers
though.
Unit members.
So you can't... Oh.
So you cannot sack Bond to Grigorovich.
Yeah, boom. That's the question.
Yep, sweet.
Ooh, yep.
Because he's not a trooper.
I mean, I don't really know why you would sack Bond to Grigorovich.
Because then he'll sack Bond. You train that.
Oh.
Boom.
Okay.
You get, like, a giant bubble, which is probably why they changed it, actually.
Okay. Lame.
Well, the Battle Engine, sacking Bond into the Battle Engine was dumb, so.
Yeah. Well, sacking Bond to Grigorovich, and then he sacked Bonds to the Battle Engine was, like, pretty cool.
Wait, can you still...
No, sack Bond, Grigorovich can't do it either.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it's like Winter Guard infantry, or like...
He's just trolling you.
Yeah, he's just Winter Guard infantry.
Ignore him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
All right.
That would be amazing.
We're all in agreement. Dynamic changes, positive for the game. Also, just positive good feelings because of direction that the game's headed.
Yes.
Yeah, Colin was way up to 90%.
He was.
Confident in Privateer Press. And then now he's back down to 75.
I was going
to
say,
he was down
like,
to 70 and then he went back up to 70.
He went up 5,
He's bound to come down, though. Like, no, 70 is pretty good for him.
Yeah. 70 is pretty good for him. Yeah.
I mean, it'll probably be 40 tomorrow and 90 the day after that and then 120. Yeah.
I'm at a solid 80%. I liked 4 out of the 5 changes. So.
Which change did you not like?
Scar Spells.
Oh, lame.
It says that they changed Thunderhead. What happened to him?
His sort of shtick was like everyone was.
It was a bookkeeping change.
Yeah.
Okay. He no longer requires a target to pulse.
Oh,
whereas
thank God
he did for some reason in Mark III.
Yeah,
but everyone's been playing it like Mark II.
If for some reason there are no models in his front arc that he can legally target, he can still pulse.
Thank God.
It's like all there are Menoth Jacks.
Much needed. We talked about Thunderhead a lot last week, didn't we?
Oh, God, that was so sweet, though.
It was the nuts.
Sweet Kane 3.
What did you say about Thunderhead?
Kane 3 with Thunderhead?
Oh, sad.
The pulse is
not sweet Kane 3. It is the saddest
of
Kane
3s. No, the pulse
is
POW 15 with a Firefly 17.
I just couldn't care less.
We got to like a POW 20 pulse or something like that.
Did you guys whack Kane 3 for me?
No.
I said what you wanted us to say.
Okay, good.
We spooged about him for about 45 minutes.
Yeah, I know. His pulse gets up to like POW insane.
Which old reverse Connie Blaze.
You just like Walker.
No, because Connie Blaze was actually pretty bad.
Whatever.
In both
we're gonna move on. We're moving on. Okay, we're moving on. What's next? There was actually stuff that happened today. They posted.
Oh yeah.
Have to?
No. I mean, no. If we don't.
Nigel, do you have a poem that you want to read?
Unfortunately. My slam poetry night.
We have Nigel sitting over here with fedora and a mustache.
I was actually talking about the Scorn models that they previewed.
Oh, let's talk about those.
Sure.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That is way more exciting.
Nigel, do you have any poems about the Scorn models?
God, we should do pirate poetry.
Pirate poetry?
pirate emo poetry.
Yeah, Etsy vomited all over an emo middle schooler's homework on Poe.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God!
Well, all right, let's talk.
I
about...
literally watched less than 10 seconds of that video before I closed. It was just like I can't.
Well, there's only like 30 seconds.
I can't do this.
I literally,
Somebody said something today on one of the threads that made my head literally explode.
But you're still here.
I'm still here, luckily.
He's using literally not in the way I was using earlier.
Well, no.
He's using the new definition of
when I look at Privateer Press spoilers, I wear like a diving bell helmet that keeps everything contained. So my head explodes, but not so much.
Okay.
It keeps it contained, and I can take it back off. It's like a jello mold of my actual head.
You just like repressurize it.
Exactly.
Your head.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyways.
I don't know why this is so funny.
Somebody said that voice, the person reading the poems, is actually the old witch. That's like her character.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it sounded like a 12-year-old.
It's 100% the old witch.
It's ruined. That 100% made my head explode and ruined
What? There's no.
The one
that's, oh, God. Because
the
is.
Old witch created the faction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, from the depths they came, with wheat they played.
The scythe and sickle grow and reap. And all the players.
In your house, spaghetti was made.
Yeah.
And then, but that's the old witch apparently every time. Just like,
what? I don't understand why they didn't just write, like, because if you're going to, I hate fluff that's, and then it was this model and it used this rule, like, you know, but when you're spoiling a brand new faction, that's actually totally fine because no one knows the rules and no one knows the models. And it gives you like a little insight into what's going on. And you could have like released a story like one page, like every week until you had like a 5 to 10 page story with some full art, like splat, like pages alongside of it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And it could have like revealed a few different like model names and given you like an idea. And then the last page could have been like, oh, it's the old witch, you know? And that would have been like maybe a way to generate hype.
Instead of really, really bad YouTube videos.
Except just like jack-o'-lanterns, crows, and
they're made by
nonsensical poetry.
They're made by like the AV club in high school.
Or like comics. They could have done like a cool comic.
Sure. Yeah.
Like they did with TF2 or with like Overwatch or whatever. Yeah. Like,
but I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter too much. Like what's going to sell the faction is going to be the models and the theme, and no one knows that. So their hype campaign's pretty irrelevant.
It's
just
frustrating because you know that they spent money on it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, probably a lot. I'm legitimately concerned of, like, not only skew bloat for this game, because there's the game we've seen is, we've all sort of had this feeling at points where the game's sort of starting to like fall apart, where the catalog is just too deep that they like literally are struggling to
balance. We're already at skew bloat. Like, faction. How many things don't get played ever?
Are we?
But why are they bloating factions?
Are we at skew bloat though?
We are.
Because, I feel like we could be, except that trolls right now only have like 2 playable war beasts.
Right. But so, that's, to me, that's skew bloat.
That's actually
like
kind
of
skew bloat.
People can still field. I can use a third of my catalog and field a variety of different armies, and I don't even have to think about playing the stuff that's garbage. That's how many models there are in the game.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
That is actually one way to deal with skew bloat, is like only make 20% of the models like actually playable.
Right.
And then it's like, cool, those ones are basically irrelevant. Like, we don't need to worry about those.
I mean, you sell them to the people that play for non-competitive reasons.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're kind of there then.
But I'm just,
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. I guess maybe I'm thinking about it in a different way than you guys are. I don't know.
It's been interesting.
I think
talking.
We passed skew bloat like years ago.
Yeah, like 5 years ago, 4 years ago,
a while ago.
It's been interesting talking to Chris because he, I want to figure out what this like article is. He apparently had some friend who was
Chris, Chris Boffman.
Yeah, he has a friend who was like an economics major, and he did like a dissertation on the economics of miniature games apparently, and like in his dissertation found that, like, at a certain point, the number of factions you have in your game becomes detrimental to your sales. Like, just, like, you're just, like, looking at all the, like, games that existed at the time. It's like these companies failed.
Like the number of spots that retailers need to carry on your shelf.
Right.
And I
think
the amount of, like, development time that you have to spend.
Right.
And so on and so forth. Like, you're just not getting a return on investment.
And so I'm legitimately kind of concerned for Privateer Press because they keep, because every time you expand into a new faction, it's a huge boon of sales initially.
Yeah. But I think, so my, I don't think that that is a huge issue in this regard because of the way that Convergence of Cirrus has gone. So I think this is literally just a, these factions are a temporary influx of cash that, you know, counterbalances what resources they put into it, and then they don't really have to think about it.
Convergence is a weird one, though, because I don't think that that went, I don't know how we remember it, but it was kind of a like a bomb. It just bombed. Like, we over at Tower, we like overstocked it, and none of it sold. And then like 5 years later, we were selling it for like 80% off.
I mean, do you think this is going to be significantly different from Convergence?
I don't know, but like Convergence was one of the ones that like, they might have stepped out.
Well, part of the problem with Convergence was a lot of people got their Convergence models at Lock and Load. They had a full release at Lock and Load,
well,
and like tons. Like,
okay, when what you're saying, you're implying that like 50% or 80% of their customers bought it at Lock and Load or Gen Con or whatever.
I'm just saying the people that wanted it.
Exactly. That's tough when you're coming out with a new faction and you can sell literally the entire release at a convention.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they don't need to just have that release at all. Like, it's sort of. I don't know.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I'm going to try to. I got to talk to Chris because I actually kind of want to read that guy's like research. But it was something like once you get past like some like 10 to 12 factions, it just, or like past 10, it just like stops working.
Well, I'm sure it's entirely dependent on the game. Like a game like Infinity versus a game like War Machine, you probably have a different.
I think 40K is probably the one that he was looking at, right?
Most likely.
It was
I'm
also
sure that's, I'm sure he looked at several. But
yeah.
Because
yeah.
40K is literally phased out factions in time.
Yeah, they just went back to
several
all Space Marines.
Yep.
By the way, they're like advancing the 40K fluff, and it's hilarious to read.
Really?
Yeah. They're finally doing it. Like
actually advancing?
Yeah. I think the Emperor is dead now.
Did you see that like Primarch
like dead,
guy?
Dead. He was always living dead.
Right. But I think he's like super dead now.
Like not a vegetable.
Yeah.
Like is actually dead.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. It's cool. I'm getting all my info secondhand from Jesse, who's getting it from Something Awful, I think. So
I remember talking to some dudes.
Telephone game from Something Awful.
If there's one thing that I love getting like triple, like third hand, like, oh God, it's 40K lore.
It's 40K
so,
lore.
Telephone.
It's so juicy. It's like just the... It's just the meatiest.
I wonder if skulls and the word death multiplies through the telephone game or decreases from the original.
It multiplies. Ooh, I don't actually
know.
Yeah,
exactly. See? Like, I could definitely see people be like, no, there's not that much.
There's not 500 skulls on this.
40K yeah. lore is the best thing that humanity has ever created. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
True. True fact.
Okay.
Anyway,
there's no fact checking that.
There is, in case you don't know what we're talking about from back when we were, 10 minutes ago when we were talking about something relevant, there is a new faction, a new Hordes faction, and it's apparently created by the Old Witch. She's a battle engine caster. That was the big reveal today, though they didn't really show the model. They showed the silhouette of the model.
Yeah. Huh.
I didn't see that.
But yeah,
it just spins around, and it's like a giant scrapjacky looking contraption with her standing on it.
It's the Baba Yaga house.
Exactly.
No,
that's awesome.
They've
nailed it.
They've gone all in on her as Baba Yaga, and clearly that's what the faction is. It's probably like Russian folktale faction. Would be my guess.
The boat is scrapjack, though. It's a battle engine scrapjack because it's underneath. It's got the reverse chicken joint legs, and then the little scrapjack head.
And yeah, based on some Facebook posts involving people like Travis Marg and Will Pagani and Will Schick, it seems like they've hinted at, like didn't say directly, but seems like it's probably very likely that she's partisan Kador.
Yep. I've heard specifically, I was, I don't know what I was saying. I was lamenting it somewhere publicly, but then was whispered that I will be very happy when she gets released. And I was like, that can't be. And then he's like,
but how was it whispered? Could you tell us a poem about the whispering?
It could. I mean, it could be a cool faction. It doesn't click for me.
Yeah, that's.
It actually seems straight up Fox's alley.
Yeah,
like just the stupid, like horror-y,
yeah,
like animated,
jack o' lanterns.
Yeah,
with, yeah.
Like that's the.
It'll be interesting how they manage to balance a caster that uses both focus and fury.
I assume that won't be what happened. She'll probably have a limited battle group, and you'll be able to take her war beasts.
Did they say that it would be that way?
No. This is. Is
that just speculation?
This is speculation backed by things said by several high-ranking people.
So the worst, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I would be super surprised if she wasn't partisan Kador. But I could easily see her playing Horde's Beasts in her battle group and just taking Kador infantry. Like I could 100% see that. There's no reason that is not a thing that could work. So.
I mean, they do that in Mercs all the time, right? The battle group is tied to the casters. Rulic casters have to take.
There's no reason that
they
couldn't have beasts. Yeah.
Gator casters to have to take Gator War Beasts.
Very interesting. Yeah. But then wouldn't it be just mostly like a... It's like not really a new faction then. It's more like a Kador expansion.
Well, I'm sure there will be other
things that Kador
can't take.
Other casters as well.
Six casters for the faction on release.
Yep.
How many did Convergence get?
Five.
Suck at Convergence.
Yeah, so that alone tells me, because there was some speculation that it might be a minion Cephalix release, but six casters pretty much puts that to bed.
That'd be sweet if it was, though.
Yeah.
But I think they did pretty much confirm that it's a convergent style release with no major plans for significant expansion.
I hate that, actually.
I also...
That sucks.
Brian, our local Convergence player, he played the game. Like, Convergence is all he owned. He got into the game not knowing. And we all told him, this is going to be a faction that gets limited releases. But he
still
quickly
expected,
realized that turned into zero.
Right.
Yeah.
Expect, the way that they pitched it, I expected that there would be one, maybe occasionally two models released for Convergence every year.
Sure.
And instead there's been zero?
Prime Conflux.
There has...
Has it been released?
It is out.
Is it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So one
in 4 years?
Three or four years?
Three. At least they're expanding
a while.
It.
Yeah. But I mean, it's weird because of the number of factions and stuff. There was, you went 2.5 years without a caster release, right?
I still have.
Oh, no. Can't do
that. By the way, that's kind of what I mean about the faction bloat is because you have people playing these one factions and then they're like, I haven't gotten anything new in like over a year.
Yeah.
Like this sucks.
Yeah.
Like, so my options are buy into another faction, which is
fantastic for Privateer Press.
No, that's, most people will look at that option and be like, no.
Whoa, though. Slow down. Slowly roll. He hasn't gotten, it's not that he hasn't gotten anything new. He just hasn't gotten a new caster.
No, right. He's gotten nothing new except the Prime Conflicts.
Who's Hot Meal? Oh, you're talking about Convergence. Well, screw those guys. That was a dumb move anyways to buy that. That's like, Convergence, that's like the people's second faction. They shouldn't have bought the Jalopy first. They should have bought the Corvette so they could complain about the Jalopy later.
There were people that bought into the game with Convergence.
That was strict.
But there's nothing that, like, without, if you don't have a, if you aren't
extremely knowledgeable at the game, exactly. And at this point in time, this stuff wasn't available online. And, like, there's still no disclaimer online that's like, by the way, Convergence, like, isn't going to have models released.
Convergence and Minions. Now, Minions can't even argue that they're this anymore, but, like, Convergence is the gamer contrarianism trap. Like, that Dingleberry who has to be a snowflake despite all the screaming people telling him, please, it's not a fun experience for you. I've got to do it. No one else is playing. I'm going to go in there. And then 6 months later,
this is the worst decision I ever made. Why didn't anybody tell me? That's actually, I mean, I'm very curious to see how this release pans out. Because of the nature of Convergence and the fact that they have done this once, and I'm just curious to see how many people buy into it.
The more I think about it, the more I think I'll like this faction aesthetically in the War Machine game, because there's the setting and the models are inherently kind of cartoony, and so you can sort of do like the jack-o'-lantern dudes and like it not look like crap, because if you try to sculpt those guys like realistically, they might like fall short.
It's weird to me because it seems like the sort of space that this, and we don't know anything other than these videos, so this is super speculation.
Yeah, we know literally nothing, just some bad poems.
But the space that this thematically seems to be trying to occupy is already Crix's space, so...
Yeah. Well...
But it'll be in Hordes.
I mean, yeah, that's true. That's true.
It gives people who want to play with Fury the option to play with a different theme.
Yeah, nobody wants to play with Fury anymore, though.
Fury is the superior system.
Yeah.
Is it?
The system, I think, is technically better. I'm actually not sure anymore, because power-up is
a part of the focus system.
Sick, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not
all
sure.
These mini factions are infringing on Crix's space. Convergence with their all soul manipulation. These guys with their...
But I mean, Convergence is shiny and chrome. This is actually just like the horrorscape. That's pretty much Crix already.
Yeah. They're just Crix, but not mechanized horror. It's just...
Right, but not all Crix is mech... There's ghost pirates. There's pistol wraiths. Like, this is... Like, it seems like a pretty, like...
In a weird way, I feel like
it's
more akin to something that belongs in Malifaux than it does in War Machine. But
yeah, it just doesn't fit at all thematically for me. Like,
But, you know, more power to them. They're expanding sort of.
Yeah, Convergence and Retribution already kind of did that. Yeah. Like, they were like, it doesn't really fit thematically.
I mean, just because it is not something I'm super interested in, I hope plenty of people are. Like,
I think it'll be neat. There'll be a lot of like, what does that do moments. So that'll be fun.
That's always fun.
I hope they have some really ridiculously hard to pronounce names.
I'm excited. I'm excited for this. The Old Witch model, the silhouette, and the like small snippets you got to see of it look sweet. And like, I'm just bated breath until we actually see other models and rules. Because like,
speaking of sweet models, how about that Pimp Juice unit that got spoiled today?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Pimp It Ain't Easy.
Oh yeah.
Murgle 3.
The concubines or whatever they are, they look pretty good. Those models are cool.
They're clearly like, I don't know, they're like Pit Fighter, whatever. They feel kind of Mortal Kombat-y. I like them. I know several of you guys in the chat were just like, it looks dumb, but I think they look cool.
I don't like Morgul. His pose is so...
He's just like shrugging it off. He's straight pimping. Like, yeah. I don't understand what's wrong with this.
Yeah, he got the leisure suit and he needs a cigarette.
He brought his fly Melina honeys. Yeah. And
he's got this sweet duster.
Yeah. I think it's a sweet looking unit.
Initially the pose is literally he's literally just standing there, arms wide, like doing nothing. But he's like shrugging one of the like the left side of the jacket off, like he's about to. You know, it's like the badass like walking into a fight, just like
casually
like.
To me, he looks like he's a pit fighter, like stirring up the crowd before the beginning of the and his two unit mates look the same, like pit fighters. So I don't know. I think it's a cool looking unit. It's weird to me that Morgul 3 is getting a unit. He doesn't really seem like a unit kind of guy.
Every 3 caster is either a battle engine or a unit.
False. Yeah. Or on a horse.
Or on a horse.
False.
Which, oh, Madrak.
Wow.
Also Nemo.
No, Nemo's a unit.
Oh, you said unit. Wait, are they a unit? I thought she was just an attachment.
They used to be.
They're now a unit.
Cursed you, Mark II to
in
Mark
the Madrak 3 vein.
I just...
Doomshaper 3.
The fluff for, like, characters used to have sweet transitions in the fluff from when they went epic, and then they just, like, phoned it in so hard, they're like, and then Vlad jumped on a horse. And so Vlad 3 was born.
Vlad is, he's a horse lord, you jack off.
No, but like my point, the actual transition in the fluff is he literally just jumped on a horse.
The transition in the fluff
you're
is...
You're thinking of Kreos.
I'm thinking of all of the ones that jumped on a horse.
No, Vlad was weird because he was always jumping off a horse. He never jumped on the horse and that was new. It was 1 and 2, he was always jumping off the horse for some reason and fighting. And you're like, well, where's his horse? And then Vlad 3 shows up. Okay, good, he kept his horse.
Yeah, and then Kreos was like, hey, I want a horse. He's got a horse. I should get a horse.
Vlad has a horse. I'm staying on my horse.
Give me a horse.
And then Striker 3 was mechanically installed on his horse, like bolted into
it. Yeah, like he can't get off.
Wait, right. Is he a cripple
like he has
now?
To have like...
Oh, no. he can get off.
He has to have like assistants come and like empty his, you know, like pee bucket.
That would have been a sweet fluff transition is like Striker overloaded and it just fried his legs. And so they just strapped him to a horse. Like that makes sense.
You know what happened to Xerxes 2? What the hell?
Oh, yeah, that is what happened to Xerxes 2.
That is what happened to Xerxes 2.
Yeah, there's precedence for it. It's, it's just
the Iron Kingdoms was pretty handy capable.
Yeah.
You just got to find a rhino or a horse.
That's probably like the old witch's thing, too, is like a huge wheelchair.
Battle engine.
Just, like,
oh, my God. That would be the
best. It would be amazing. And then,
So, Morgul 3 unit looks sweet.
We need a Segway caster.
God, you know they're going to totally troll me, too. They're going to make it an arc node. And it's just going to be like, got me again.
Like the model that she is
she's
in.
On is an arc node.
Yeah, that's happening.
Perfect.
No, you have 2 arc nodes, dude.
Maybe the Scrapjack can like literally jump out of it and go running.
No, she'd have to jump out of it. It's literally the boat. Like the Scrapjack is the boat she's riding.
I thought it was part of the boat.
Yeah, he's the boat.
Oh.
It's like instead of the Scrapjack, it's this giant pirate ship boat with like stuff all up on top.
It's just like a bunch of sickles and crow bones strapped to a Scrapjack.
Yeah.
Oh. What have they done to you, Scrapjack?
He is huge, though. He's got some big, beefy legs and some sweet stacks.
Nice. Scrapjack went to the gym.
Did we see
he did.
Bulked up.
Yeah, after that game with Keith where he ate 30 of my dudes, he just carbo-loaded.
He also ate about 30 of my dudes. So he was sated on 30 dwarves and 30 winter guard.
Mad gains. Yeah. And he still skipped leg day.
Any other sweet models get spoiled?
The new character...
Drake.
Drake.
What? I didn't see that.
Oh.
It is a heavy war beast that looks like a basilisk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just looked like a big basilisk to me. But
I wasn't super enthralled by it. Adam thinks it looks like a battle toad.
Oh, it does look like a battle toad.
That's
amazing.
So, and apparently it's got a range 10 POW 15 spray.
Whoa.
That's really good.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
That's a spray.
That's a spray.
Range 10 sprays are so good.
That the model looks like a Drake making an insensitive impersonation of a New York Times reporter. That's what it looks like it's doing.
It does look like that.
You're like, that's insensitive, Drake. Stop doing that.
Come on.
Somebody modify him with some blonde hair.
No, just baby hands. Make his hands really small. Yeah.
No, his hands, that's the weird part is that the hands are completely overcompensating. They're like huge. Yeah, they're super big hands.
Orange skin. Blonde hair.
Where are these at? I didn't see. I only
They're
saw
all
the
over.
One.
Check chain attack. That's
was there another model or was that it? Was it just those two?
I think that was it. I imagine
there's also a sculpt revealed for the apparently like part of Kane's soul fell off and became a pistol wraith.
Oh yeah.
What? He just pooped out a little.
Yep. Yeah. Just a little pistol wraith fell off.
I mean, that
It's a late night on the internet, and you don't have any tube socks, so your gun's right there. You're just like, and then, you know, next thing you know, a pistol wraith, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, God, I hope that's his fluff. You should write a short story mail it into them. And he's just like, hey, if you guys don't have the fluff for this yet, like, I got you covered.
He's just furiously looking around, like, it's just the glow of the screen on him. It's at night by himself, and he's looking around, like, the tissue's empty, the tube socks are gone, like, they're too far away. And he just looks over at the mage lock pistol. He's like,
Oh my God.
It does. So, you know, a pistol wraith goes shooting out of his house.
Oh, incredible. Oh,
did you guys. What's
happy 300th episode, everybody.
Yeah, what's this, that's it. What's this Wintergard dude?
What is what?
There's a Wintergard
dude? There's a Wintergard dude with like binoculars and an axe.
Yeah, binoculars and an axe.
That's a perfect combo.
It's a perfect Wintergard.
He's coming. Just call him.
The thrown weapons. He throws it like a literal mile.
He needs binoculars to see how far he's going to chuck that thing.
How much you want to bet I can throw this football over that mountain?
Oh my God. He should put a scope on his axe.
Oh my God.
It's the Wintergard stalker.
I thought you said he was comboed up with Kane, with the Kane pistol raid. Like he was spying on Kane.
Yeah, exactly.
They're a new IKRPG like duo.
I don't know how we're doing on time, but now that we've gotten through all the news and announcements, I do have a little Rat Dojo.
We got time.
Boom. Yeah.
Make it happen.
Lay your Rat Dojo down on me.
Before we finish with that, I do expect there to be a dynamic update for the Eye of Truth, because he's in every list that I build now.
Really?
John spammed the chat with like his 15 lists that he's thinking about, and every single one of them, I'm like, it started with Eye of Truth. Okay, cool. All right.
Turns out blessing your whole army, not bad.
It's just like, you remember when that caster had Spell Piercer?
Yeah.
Get out of here. I'm going to put Resnick 2 in all of my lists.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a good change to him would be to remove Oracular Vision. That'd be fine.
Or
Ashen Veil.
Probably the
blessed
thing.
Or just make him
thing.
Cost like 4 more points.
God, I forgot he has Ashen Veil. Like, I know that there's at least 15 points of random crap on the back of his card. Yep. I just always forget what it is.
Keith now knows what it's like to read the back
of a Crick's card. Mark II Crick's card.
A War Witch Siren.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Every time. You're just like, wait, what?
Yeah.
There aren't 13?
Every time. Keith's just like, and then I'll do this with this model. It's just like, wait, huh? What? There's no way. There's no way.
You can't do all of this. You
cannot do all these things.
This many points.
Yep. Yeah, this is the Warjack version of that.
You could remove Ashen Veil. You could remove Ashen Veil or Oracular Vision. Either one of those.
You need to remove the Blessed thing.
Nah.
That's just unacceptable.
Or just make it cost like 4 more points.
Or just make it like what I thought it was when I first read it.
Right. That's also probably fine. And not bad. You put an armor 21 jack within like 5 inches of their stuff and then blow it up with guns. Like,
yeah.
Your arm 21 jack that has cancel and attack is probably going to be
and
okay.
And then its attacks itself are always blessed. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's got a range 8 gun, so that actually wouldn't be true.
What do you mean? Your shot wouldn't be... Oh, no.
I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out a fallacy in your argument.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But look, I just would like to point out that I'm a reasonable person. I play Protectorate. I actually called for a High Reclaimer nerf back when.
And I 100% agree with you. They're coming. They will be coming for Eye of Truth. And like Obama, they're coming for Vlad's guns.
Wait, what's wrong with Vlad's guns?
I guess.
Oh, like Obama's coming for Vlad's guns?
Right.
AKA, it's not happening.
Yeah.
I mean, it should happen.
The same argument about hunters shooting things to death on the top of one again. That's fun.
What? We should probably talk about that really briefly.
Wait, what? Oh, God.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
So in heavy metal, because of the 2 inches of extra deployment, Haley 2 with telekinesis and energizer from Jake's can get hunter shots into the enemy deployment zone. Unlike Kara Sloan, it does not cost her feet. And she has the flexibility to choose to either boost to hit or boost damage. Or she can do like a couple hunter shots with being able to boost both because of, you know, how focus works. So it's a more flexible version that requires many fewer hunters. Like the 4 hunter shot version only requires 3 hunters, so 33 points instead of 99. Produces a similar amount of damage onto heavily armored targets. And is similarly not really threatening, but has the possibility, the slim possibility to kill casters.
I'm more worried about heavies getting tuned up or valuable solos getting taken out.
Right. I mean, it's just unnecessary.
You should not.
It's not particularly good. Like, the same arguments are coming back out. The people on my side are all like, this creates a very negative play experience for new players who don't see it coming, and there's just simply no reason that it should exist. And then on the other side, they're like, but it's not even good. It's like, we never said it was good.
It's annoying enough already that people can top of one attack or drift into your advanced deployment. Like, I'm of the opinion that you get out of here, Nigel.
I don't know if I'm the one who needs to be getting out of here.
You leaned in.
Yeah. Nigel may have killed Kel before I got to activate in our last game.
Oh, man.
Why did you put him there?
Why did I put him in the forest where he was stealth and, you know, not even the full 16 inches up the table, like 14 inches up the table? Yeah, it's just...
It sucks, but they'd have to work...
Sorry.
They would have to badly limit threat ranges to prevent AD attacks, and usually AD models have some additional defenses.
What if
like
you just
starting
made
his, dug in or something?
Right.
What if you just made a steamroller rule that said on the top of one you can't make any attacks?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I would also be fine with that.
I mean, that solves all the problems.
I agree.
You don't really have any business shooting into somebody's deployment zone before they've had a chance to put up any defensive buffs or move.
Right. That was the most egregious part, was I was playing Gorton, so if I just...
But then I can't cast spells and charge.
I got to go first with solid ground, none of that would happen.
I said, but then I can't cast spells and charge.
You still can. Just like old Saren's feet. Not being able to be targeted by attacks doesn't mean you can't be targeted by a charge.
But if you can't make attacks, then you can't charge, right?
Well, I'm sure there's a way we could write it. I don't want to go through the pedantics of it now.
Sure.
But the intent would be you just don't get to...
I think I would be okay with that if it was a steamroller rule.
You could just say,
because like, what? When have I ever wanted to shoot on the top of turn one or like make attacks? And they're pretty much always something bad,
right?
It's just cheese ball stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And that stops a lot of other stuff. That would have stopped a lot of other stuff in Mark II as well. That is not a problem anymore because the game changed. But like stupid stuff, like punching three Mechanithralls to death and then making six more Mechanithralls with Gorshade, you know, or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think you should get shot or attacked
before you do anything.
Before you've had an opportunity to play the game, like you know.
I mean, that would also be, it would also just be, the other reason I'm fine with that is because I still think, after all these years, going first is massively, massively better than going second. And any slight toning down to going first, I feel like, is fine. Like, it's not like they're hurting to...
I mean, what opportunity cost are you missing? The ability to drift, typically, like, this would cost me a little bit because I have the ability often to drift 6 inches to the one to get into your advanced deployment zone.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with, like, not having that opportunity because you probably really shouldn't, you know?
Right. I just feel so bad when your models die before you have a chance to move them.
A couple counter arguments. Granted, they're Kador based counter arguments. Victor has a 20-inch range, so he walks 4, shoots 20, but he's got a 5-inch pie plate that leaves terrain down, and so you're trying to kind of control the board off a little bit. And the same thing for the battle engine, you trample. I wasn't really trying. Like, Kel Balak was cool to like get him by accident, but like I was mostly just sort of throwing AoEs out to slow everything down.
Sure, we could just change it so that models
can't be damaged.
That'd be cool.
I think I'm fine with the drifts. Like, it's... Because there's a lot of times where you're like, well, I could drift, like, try to go for this drift, or I could just run my dude, like, X more inches. And the positioning is usually better anyway.
Yep.
Unless you're trampling with a battle engine.
Right. Or the Judicator, which just gets to make leapfrog shots or whatever. Like, you're right, it could have run, but this is not an egregious problem.
Yeah.
But it is annoying.
It's not egregious. It's just the fact that we went through it with Sloan and it got picked.
Right.
Now we're back.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just thought of something. You could have the second player deploy after the first player moves. That would give the second player a lot more advantage for going second.
What if you just had
that
the game?
It makes it hard to unpack your army in a like intelligent way from player one standpoint.
Yeah, turn one, it's basically they just deploy 10 inches or 15 inches further up the table.
Right.
Who does?
Player one essentially is doing that because you can't unpack your army in a meaningful way when you don't know like where any of your opponent's stuff is deployed.
Yeah, I think so that would swing it way too hard back in favor of turn two.
What if the second player got to start with their upkeeps in play?
That could also help.
Well, now we're answering problems that aren't really relevant to the the current discussion.
We're just like, why does that suck to go second?
Right.
I mean, it is just
like I said, it's not an egregious
problem.
Most likely the heavy metal just loses its 2 extra inches of deployment in favor of some other minor buff.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But then they literally can't ever give a theme force 2 inches of deployment in Signar because of their ability
not
to...
Not one that allows Jakes and Haley to, anyway.
Correct.
Eh, but, I mean, it's like a super easy, like, throw in there thing anyway. If they had to be more creative about it, thumbs up.
I mean, it actually, if they did something, it allowed the second player's models not to be damaged or not to be attacked or whatever. If there was some blanket rule in there, then it actually opens up design space. They can have, like, ridiculous things and it doesn't break down as much.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't really mind it.
I have been.
How far back do you have to deploy to completely ignore the Haley thing?
2 inches. Or 1.1 inches.
Okay. Shrug.
And obviously nothing in the AD that you don't want to get shot by
hunters. Yeah, but I mean, if hunters are shooting, like, an infantry dude, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, again, we're not saying that it's necessarily something that's super good. It just...
Yep, I think
it's
all...
It's not the end of the game. It's just a potentially very negative play experience that I wish wasn't there as someone who's allowed to play it.
Right. Yep.
I think we're all in agreement. Keith, slap that hot and heavy Rhett Dojo on us.
I might save it for next time. Whoa. I might save it for next time. I think it deserves more time.
Yeah, I can test it.
You're cliffhanging us with this Rhett Dojo?
Is it Gareth? Yeah. Is it Gareth? It is.
Well, there is Gareth. I'm excited about... I have a Gareth list. I have a Ron list.
Oh, my God.
I have some very experimental, probably terrible Raven lists.
Uh-huh. Is the Ron list have, like, battle mages in it?
No.
How did you guess?
No.
Yeah.
And then at least one arc node?
What?
And then an arc node?
It has 2 arc nodes.
Boo.
That jack that increases the range of magic all attacks?
Right. Nope. Well, we'll save it.
It does not have that.
What?
We'll save it for next week. So that's cliffhang. Keith is cliffhanging us with some Rhett Dojo.
I feel like we should talk about War Machine in some way. No?
We've been talking about War Machine for the last hour.
I don't know. Like, news and announcements doesn't feel like actually talking about War Machine.
We're an hour and 50 minutes into this podcast. We're basically over.
Yeah.
No, it's all over.
I mean, I don't mind hanging out for a dojo, Keith, but if you don't feel it, then that's cool.
That's fine. We'll save it for next week.
I'll play test it either at the shop or at the Mayhem tournament this weekend. I feel like playing some janky rod lists.
Not well, janky.
One it's janky.
I feel
the
like
Gareth one's a little janky. It's a little janky.
I feel like he's pretty
every
good,
Gareth. No. I'm just saying, like, every Gareth list, like, inherently is a little janky. Just, like, the way you build his lists in the end, you're like, this all went together, but I feel like a 5-year-old put it all together.
He's got that,
Well, because ultimately the plan of any Gareth list is to get them to come kill your stuff, but leave their caster slightly too exposed.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, that's really easy to do.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely better than he was in Mark II. I actually like all of the rec casters I've thoroughly enjoyed playing in Mark II, except for maybe Raven. And it's just because every time I dojo a Raven list, I'm like, this is just better with these two casters instead.
I've only played against Gareth one time, but like it was a surprisingly difficult balance beam to walk down where you're like, yeah, I get to I'm basically smashing my army into his army.
Yeah.
And as long as I can get the better of him without having to get my caster too involved, like, I'm good to go. But then you're like, I got to get my caster a little involved.
Yeah.
Almost every army is predicated on the caster being involved.
And
in
then
some
it's
way.
Like, it's just, this, I'm just saying, like, it's, there's a precarious line that you have to walk.
Not
down.
Everyone
well,
can
at
be
least
semi.
In Mark II, for Hordes, you didn't have to worry about his feet. So.
Yeah.
It's not Mark II, though.
I know. I'm just saying. Like,
his assassination did get better on his feet turn.
All right. So we're getting ready to wrap it up. But before we do, I meant to do this in the pre-ramble, and I apologize for bringing this up now. But I wanted to check with any of our listeners if they're playing Destiny, because I'm curious
not
about
the video
game.
Not the video game, the card game.
The CCG.
Yeah, the Star Wars.
Star Wars game. Destiny.
Keith, have you seen it, played it at all, or played it?
I have not. John DeShazer tells me it's very good.
I've heard that from a lot of places. So
I've heard that it's really, really good, too.
Thinking about dipping my toe in.
It's Fantasy Flight, right?
Yeah. Collectible card game.
From what I understand, the big important thing, or the big, like...
Well, it's a dice and card game, right?
It's a dice and card game, but from what I understand, the big thing is that, like, it's alternating everything. Like, it's everything alternates. It's alternating everything or whatever, alternating turns. So it's like in Magic, you know, you get to do your whole everything. Like, I'm going to play this card, and I'm going to tap this card, and I'm going to do this mana, and I'm going to do this attack, and I'm going to... And you get to do everything all at once. Mm. And they get chances to respond, like, to individual things, but... Mm. In this game, it's literally you get to do one thing, and then it's their turn. And then they get to do one thing. So it's like they're going to, you know, they're going to tap their mana, and then they're like, okay, it's your turn. I have this mana now, so I can spend it next turn to summon something or to make an attack or to do something with it. Mm. But, like, for now, you don't know. All you know that is that I have it. So you get a chance to immediately, like, do something and respond to that. So it makes, like, the strategic back and forth is actually, like, really incredible.
Mm.
That is kind of neat. I'm going to slightly interrupt and just say happy 300, everyone. We're big. I love everybody. I love the fans. It's been a great run, and we will be continuing on. Unfortunately, I do need to duck out. I have a little girl's bedtime and a late dinner to get to.
Fair enough.
Goodbye, friend.
Oh, I think I know why the Red Dojo went down the tubes. I figured it out.
I will catch you next time.
Yeah, but
time.
We can talk next time.
See you later,
Thanks, Keith.
Yeah.
So anyway, if any of you listeners are playing Destiny and you have some, you want to share your thoughts with me, I would really appreciate it. I know that I can get cards from Discount Games because they actually do singles now, which is cool. But I don't know which singles to get.
Is it not a?
It's not an LCG. It's not a CCG.
Unfortunately,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah. So, but apparently, Jay was telling me that they have a pretty big selection. So that's where I want to go get cards, but I don't know which ones to get.
Darth Vader.
Jar Jar Binks.
Get that guy. Get him in there.
I heard that Darth Vader is...
I mean, I don't know anything.
You're like, he's probably good.
Well,
I don't know how it works.
Talking about it on the Penny Arcade podcast, and what were they saying for Darth Vader? It's literally, because the way the game, like, you know, if you're going to make an attack, like, you roll dice, and you get to see how much damage that you will deal, but you can't, like, once you've rolled the dice, like, that's it for your turn. You don't get to assign the damage until it's your turn again. So now that you've rolled the dice and they see what the results are, they get a chance to immediately like do stuff. You know, so if they want to like block, you know, prepare some kind of defense or whatever, like they have a chance to do that. And then it's your turn, and then you get to assign the damage. And I might be completely wrong about this because, like I said, I've never played the game. This is all garnered from just me listening to another podcast talk about it. But like Darth Vader is. Or I think it's the Emperor. Like his special rule is he can turn any if your opponent has rolled like attack dice against you, he can count the number of blank results and assign that as damage to you. And so it's like he's like you know, use your anger against you basically, which is kind of
that's thematic. That's cool.
Or like it's there's like stuff like that where all the characters interact with the dice in like sort of an interesting, different, and cool way. I think Darth Vader's was something like he gets to.
Complain about sand.
No, it's I think he reduces the roll you do in some way. Like it's supposed to represent like force choking. Like you just feel like you're being like you know, pressured or you know, like the pressure's on you. Anyway, it sounds really neat.
Billy Joel starts to play the hit song Pressure whenever
you start to choke yourself based directly based on your upper mobility, your aspirations.
Oh my god! No, it's your ambitions.
Ambitious.
Okay.
I just tuned up tonight.
Yeah,
I think I like it.
He's on it.
We're gonna have to get him two-fisting every podcast.
Yep. I'm here to fist Nigel.
Boom.
I do actually. Before we sign off, want to echo Keith's thoughts. Happy 300th, everybody.
Yeah, we didn't do anything special.
We didn't do anything special.
No, if you want to know what we did special, boom, all six of us were on the cast. You're welcome.
Yeah.
When was the last time that happened?
Yeah. Stars.
A while.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't always expect something.
All it took was this arbitrary 300 matters more than any of the other numbers.
Right. I mean, that's 100 is kind of a milestone. 200, sure. I think 500 is the next.
In 4 years.
Well, we could go back to 3 a week, and then we could do 500 like in a month.
Nope.
What Crump said.
Thank you. Thank you, but nope. I have one more small announcement. Actually, big announcement. Reminder that MuseonCon tickets are for sale. So, MuseonCon, second annual, May 26th through the 28th.
Is there a Crump's Totally Legit War Machine Weekend qualifier?
There is, run by Travis Marg, sweet guy.
What other sweet games are available at the MuseonCon?
I love that Josh is just like, here's the tea, like, the tea.
I did this last week.
I know. there's going to be a regional qualifier for Guild Ball. Steam Forge is actually going to be there, which is going to be pretty sweet.
I love Guild Ball.
Yeah, and we'll be running Infinity events all weekend.
Love Infinity.
X-Wing.
Joey loves Malifaux.
Yep.
John loves X-Wing. Yep.
There's something for all of
there
us.
There is. RPGs,
board games, yeah.
All the... Most minis games. Batman. Colin will kill me if I don't say Batman.
Yeah, Marvel.
But not...
No, he actually is running. He is. He is actually running Marvel. We're not supposed to like say that. It's just that... If for those of you that don't know, Night Models is discontinuing Marvel, so...
But they still have DCU.
Yep.
So if you don't care what kind of pajamas your superheroes wear, it's the same game.
Yep.
Nice. But if you want to learn, either purchase tickets or search for a little more information, you can go to MuseOnStore.com. And on the front page, there's a link to ticket sales. There's a lot of information in there.
How much are tickets?
$50 for the weekend, $20 for a day.
That seems like a deal.
Well, they are all inclusive, so they cover all your events. There's no event charges.
Yep.
The logistics of running a convention, like, you have to charge for tickets. It's unfortunate.
Don Jamaris demands his tribute.
It's not a tribute.
If you want to come like our Facebook page, it's facebook.com/MuseOnCon. There's also a link to the ticket sales on that page, too. So,
yeah. Don Jamaris wasn't a thing last year at MuseOnCon, right?
Nope.
Not yet.
No,
oh, it's going to be
he
glorious.
He actually was.
Let's also not what? Forget. Was he?
Yeah, I think there was. Wasn't there a.
I don't think so.
It was this summer.
Don Jamaris happened after you started playing Resnick 2. And I don't think that happened before.
It was like August.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, the best thing that happened at MuseOnCon was young Adam Crumpton.
Mm.
Yeah, that
oh,
was
my
awesome.
God. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Anyway, I just want to remind you, painters, will we be having a painting competition?
We will.
I want to remind you, painters, that there is a best in Shea category. So spruce up your pirates. They don't have to be War Machine pirates. They can be pirates of any kind, any sort of pirate.
Yeah, Ryan won that last year.
He did.
The prize I literally went and got like the day of the con and bought Pirates of the Caribbean 1 on DVD and a bottle of rum.
Yeah, so at least there was a bottle of rum. Yeah.
Ooh.
So
this year will probably be Pirates of the Caribbean 2 and a different bottle
and
of rum.
And a bottle of rum.
Yeah.
So,
more importantly,
the bottle of rum.
But also, you know that you won Best in Shea.
Yes.
So,
more important.
Yeah. Also, if you do come to MuseOnCon, make sure you tell Josh lots of pirate jokes.
Yeah. Fill me up, Buttercup.
Yep.
There aren't any left.
I know.
There are literally none left.
Yeah, you can just relive them all. That's fine.
Yeah, that's
as long
fine.
As it's you and not me, I'm good.
No, I mean, only tell them to me when... I mean, actually tell them to John while I'm standing there. Is how you
No. That's not how that works.
Yeah.
But yeah, last year there were only War Machine pirates. I want to see other pirates. And are all the kinds of pirates. Come on, miniature painters. Be sweet.
In fact, just come cosplay it as a pirate.
Yeah, that'll probably...
And then put yourself in the model case. Yeah,
that'll probably help.
Just get in there.
The judging is entirely based on me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can judge best in Shea. Yeah.
Let's bring Josh a bottle of rum and win your bottle of rum.
Yeah, that will work.
Yeah. I'm so pumped to do this again. Last year, we had roughly like 140-ish people come.
And it was
year,
a ball.
It was sweet.
It was. This year, we're shooting for...
240-ish people.
We're looking at least 300. It's our 300th episode year. Uh-huh. 300 people at that con. Uh-huh. So it's going to be 300 all year. We're just going to repeat it over and over.
We're basically all going to dress like Spartans.
Yeah.
All year long now.
I mean,
I thought he meant Halo Spartans, and I was super confused for a second.
That was also what we did special for this episode, which we forgot to mention. We are all shirtless.
That's true. Yeah. Yep. I have CG'd abs.
Yeah, I've got airbrushed ones.
Yeah.
So
I've got abs. You just can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, event lists will be posted for that. But you should come out if you enjoy Guild Ball, War Machine, Infinity, Malifaux, etc. All the games.
Also, the hotel is super sweet.
It is.
In all seriousness, 300. It does feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's been a crazy, wild ride.
I love how we think of Josh and Nigel as, like, not original members for some reason, even though they were here, like, at episode 50.
Well, I wasn't. I was here.
Nigel wasn't.
I was here way late.
Yeah, you were here, like, 100?
I was here at episode, like, 30-something, I think. Yeah. So.
It was around 150, because we were right around 250 Focus and Fury episodes when I came over here. We were way ahead of you guys.
Well, finally, we put you in the dust.
Exactly. We finally caught up and lapped me.
Yeah.
If I remember right.
I still think of you as original members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, I just.
I really feel like John is the only one that. he's always the one that brings that up. Like, Josh and Nigel are, like, they're the new guys.
They're the plebs.
It's like, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, John.
Yeah. Hey, how did this turn into me being an asshole?
Remember,
I don't know.
Remember,
it's a day ending and why.
Remember when we recorded in a fishbowl? Because, like, John was recording on his onboard mic on his computer instead of the nice soundboard we had set up.
Yeah, and I was like, why does... Yeah, John, you can hear John really well, but everyone else, like, you can't hear.
Yeah.
That was an accident.
That happened for, like, 35 episodes.
It was, like, 8, but yeah.
Think about all the places we've recorded, like, at the shop, in John's burnt-down basement,
mm-hmm.
in John's other...
New basement.
Basement that also had fires.
Yes. Yep. Yep. We've done it at the shop a couple times.
Yeah.
this shop.
It's always been miserable.
And Mayhem.
At Mayhem. That's what I mean. At Mayhem.
We did it at cons like once, and then we were like never again.
We did a couple, but
we
it was
did it on the road to
literally
Gen Con one
on
year.
The yeah. road.
That was miserable.
Literally on the road.
That was awesome when we put the mic down because the cop was driving by.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh what? I was not there for that.
Yeah, we were like, oh, act casual. We put the mics low. Cop drives by.
That's real casual.
Yeah. You guys were all five just holding mics?
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Not me. I wasn't
it was
there.
Awful.
I was also not there. I don't.
I think Keith? It was Brent.
Brent was doing part of it. I don't understand why a cop would be like, oh, those guys have microphones.
Well, no, if John, who is driving, has one in his hand.
I mean, he drives badly regardless of what he's doing.
We gotta get Dewey and Finken back on.
Yeah.
Oh, Dewey.
Lance.
Holt.
Yeah. Well, Lance is still on.
Lance was on
time.
A couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I was sad Coach Holt. Colin wasn't here.
Me too.
I was reminded that Nathan Hoffman was actually on the very first episode of Muse.
I remember. That was in Misty Mountains.
Yep. At a Hughes the Bus.
Oh, there's a different place that you've recorded.
Yep.
Oh, one time, but yeah. It was the very first.
Yeah.
It was our pilot episode.
We recorded one in Chuck's basement.
We did record one in Chuck's basement.
Yeah.
With Jason Watt.
Yeah, eating chicken pot pie.
Yeah, that was delicious.
It was delicious.
It's been quite a trip, gentlemen.
The places we'll go. All right, let's end this.
Basically, that's it. Yeah, that's the end.
Thanks for listening, even though we're usually intolerable. I mean, I'm usually intolerable.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very tolerable, thank you.
All right, well, that's a cast.
We're just going to let that one.
Just hit stop. Okay, all right. Stop it.
Thanks for listening, guys. This has been Chad.
John.
Josh.
Nigel.
And Crump.
And Keith.
And Aurora.
Bye. Bye.
You haven't seen John Wick yet?
No.
Or John Wick.
Son of a bitch.
It's quite good.
You mean John Wick Part 2?
Indeed.
Yep.
They don't kill the dog, so my wife was infinitely happier with it.
I was hoping the dog would go on a rampage.
Yeah.
But
we watched
he trains the dog in between the two movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The dog is not just like a dog version of John Wick.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be amazing.
Dog Wick. Mm-hmm.
It's like Sif from Dark Souls, except instead of a giant sword in its mouth, it's just got like a machine gun.
Yeah. Yeah. So my wife and I are watching John Wick, and I told her it was a love story. And the first, you know, little bit of the movie, you might believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they're like, he's talking about his, or they like do the whole Hallmark montage about his wife and stuff.
Yeah.
And then
it's like Flashback City.
Yeah.
Like,
and then he gets the dog, and she's like, oh, that dog is really cute. And I'm just thinking, do I tell her? Nah. I won't.
I've made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
There's apparently a website called, like, doesthedogdie.com.
Yeah.
Like, where you could just search a movie, and it will tell you, like, yes or no in the exact moment in the movie where the dog dies. Which is just, yeah.
Yeah. So then the dog dies, and then she was really ticked at me for some reason. Like, I didn't make the movie. I don't know what...
She's like, I didn't kill that.
Yeah.
Kill it. You were just like, it was just a dog.
Yep.
And then she goes on a John Wick rampage.
Yep. No, the second one was solid. It's pretty much exactly what I was expecting.
I think it held up to the first one pretty well, which is high praise. It's really hard for sequels to do that. So
I just don't know why they needed a sequel.
Yeah, money.
They like money.
They didn't.
I think you need a sequel. I mean,
why did Die Hard need a sequel?
There's no point in dressing it up as a different movie, so it's kind of nice to have the sort of continuity of like, oh, it's just more John Wick. Because they could make a new movie that's the same thing with different characters, but it's like,
right,
we already know John Wick, so now it could just be more. Like, this is how, when you do sequels, how you should do them, is like, we have a awesome thing, and then we're going to repeat awesome things. And then, that's like The Matrix,
like
where
Die
they
Hard.
Went wrong.
Die Hard 2.
That's exactly what I was going to say, though, is like, that's how we get to the Die Hard swamp.
Yeah, hopefully we don't end up with like...
Well, again, all those things go off into terrible, you're just poor writing. So John Wick has solved the poor writing thing by having no writing. And so,
yeah,
it completely solves it. You're like, nailed it. Yeah, you don't have to worry about the plot because there isn't one.
Just in case that our screenwriters started to get ideas, we cast Keanu Reeves, who can't actually deliver dialogue.
Yeah.
Just as an additional safety barrier.
There are a couple of times in the movie where he has to, and I'm just like, cringing.
Keanu Reeves is awesome. And then also, like in this one, they had Ruby Rose, who can't act. They just made her deaf so that she could just not act at all.
Yep.
I was like, these guys are geniuses.
And I say that with love, because Keanu Reeves is an amazing dude.
Yeah.
Basically, like the anti-Tom Cruise in all respects.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's supposedly, like, a really good dude. So
amazing.
He's also, like, it's Keanu Reeves is one of those things, he's actually underrated as an actor, because you can't really bitch about a guy who creates franchises. He literally prints franchises. He somehow, by just being himself, creates a character that becomes so marketable, it builds a franchise out of nothing.
Well, he's just intensely charismatic. Like, I've never, even when the movie has been complete garbage, I have never gone to a Keanu Reeves movie and been like, I didn't enjoy my time here. Like, even if the movie is terrible, I enjoyed watching 47 Ronin, even though it was
I forgot that movie existed.
Not going to see that now.
Well, you can take round two with The Great Wall, which comes out.
No, because there's no Keanu Reeves
in that.
Matt Damon is no Keanu Reeves.
I only enjoyed watching 47 Ronin because Keanu Reeves is in it. Like,
I genuinely regretted seeing Matrix 2 and 3, but I'm not sure that's Keanu Reeves' fault.
It's not.
I think that the Matrix 2 and 3 are garbage is such hyperbole, and I'm over it. I'm over that hyperbole.
Mm. I enjoy the movie.
They're not Matrix
stuff. They're not the Matrix one.
Yeah.
But the animated bad guys are terrible. Like, it's just they overwent bonkers. They Peter Jackson themselves.
Yeah, that's probably true.
It happens to the best of them.
Yeah.
So I heard that he was doing another Bill and Ted's.
Peter Jackson.
Yep. Jackson's doing Bill and Ted's.
Holy crap.
Peter Jackson, yeah. Except there's no George Carlin now, so I'm very conflicted about it.
Did you see the new John Wick film yet?
Yep.
Yeah. Any critiques of it? I thought it was solid, but...
It was decent. Like,
there was like one small thing that like sort of bothered me, and it's that they went too deep into the like the secret society thing.
And that was,
and they're
that,
just like
that
everybody has a cell phone, and like everyone's an assassin. I was like, okay, all right,
that was inevitable.
Yeah,
but
because that was cool in the first movie because they just like basically left it alone,
right?
And then
I kind of like
when you start explaining stuff like that, it just kind of gets done.
Right, but there was no way that they were going to do a sequel and not do that.
No, but they could. But it was more like when he sends out the bounty to everyone, and like literally 6 out of 10 people are like picking up their phones and looking at it. I'm like, okay, not everyone in the world could be aware of this thing because this is
right.
Like,
I thought it was
like it's fine that they explained it, but it was just
awkward in the beginning. Like, it was clear that they were just like, how do we get him back to killing people?
Yeah. Like, that was fine.
And so it was definitely the beginning. The writing was a little awkward and forced in the beginning. And then the end was unsatisfying because of how they needed it to end for it's a two-part story now. And so it's an unsatisfying end. Whereas I went to it wanting like a complete movie, and you didn't get that. But I was still fully entertained. The action sequences were still great. I thought Common was awesome.
Yeah.
And the best scene in the movie is between Common and Keanu Reeves in the bar. It's just great.
Yeah.
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 So, yeah. Good. No, I liked it.
Yeah. That was
some things good. I thought were cool, like when he goes to do his marker, you know, like her sort of response. I was like kind of confused by the whole scene. So I was like, okay, cool. They like emotionally absolve Keanu of like the guilt by sort of she took it out of his hands.
Yeah.
But then he plugs her in the head anyway.
Right. I think it's because he had to do it.
I think, yeah, that was why.
Yeah. But I was just like, well, okay, that's weird. And then, yeah.
Yeah. I assumed he did it because it had to be like
him killing her.
Him killing her to like satisfy the marker, probably. Mm-hmm.
I did too, but it did make for an awkward moment where she just like bleeds out and then you're like, nope.
Yeah.
You're like, whoa, this was like a nice, peaceful, like calm.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Keanu is basically serious. Like, he's just clearly like farming headshots. At the movie, he wants his stats to be matched.
I need one more.
Yeah,
this is an easy one.
I got to get those chivos.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing I super appreciate about the action of the movie is I'm so over like shaky cam and a million cuts.
Yeah,
like the action is you can follow it. You kind of see what's going on. Sometimes they don't always pull it off where it's like super great, but like 99% or 95% of it is fantastic.
Yeah. I really appreciate that there are people that Keanu Reeves shoots that are off screen and all you get is a spray of blood and the sound of them like dying.
Yeah.
I don't
or like a foot coming into the scene or something like
that. I don't have to see some like slow bullet time of everybody dying and then like 17 cuts back and forth.
I don't know who said it. I don't know if it was one of you guys or if it was just something I heard on the internet or what. But one of the critiques I heard of the first movie is people were like, yeah, well, those fight scenes are great and all. But if you actually really pay attention to them, like the only way he could be like shooting as many people as he shoots is they would have to just be sitting like directly off screen, like off shot. Which means that they would just be standing there, like, in full view of him the entire time. And I'm just like, I don't care.
Right.
Like, that's not...
Or they're,
I mean, it's also
or they're
the
running
screen.
Up to him off screen or coming
or
around the corner off screen.
Yeah.
Like,
there's, like, a million explanations. What I care about... There's, like, a million explanations for it. What I care about is it looks good on the screen.
Right.
Like, that's what the whole point of filmmaking is and directing.
Right.
And so, yeah, if they're doing that, like, even without guys on the screen, that's even better. Like,
right.
That's, like, taking it to the next level.
No more Black Widow fight scenes. That's the worst kind of BS.
You mean like the one where she infiltrates like the Tony Stark complex?
I mean, any one of her Avengers
I'm
fight scenes,
to remember them.
They're just cut to hell.
They're not memorable.
Like, I literally can't
remember them right now. I'm like, she's in this hall. She like flips a guy with their legs. I don't really remember anything else.
They're some of the most egregious like fight scene cut. Like, I think Black Widow's fight scenes are some of the worst filmed fight scenes in movies today.
I can't even think of one.
I can remember when the first Avengers came out, she was in one of like their big like media circuit like highlight reels, like and she was on a talk show or whatever, and it was always like kind of like her in a hallway taking down three dudes, and then like in that preview it's chopped to just absolute crap. So it's like she walks up in a hallway, there's three guys, and then it's a bunch of quick cuts of like faces getting punched and kicks and stuff, and she flips around. But
it's
like
for a commercial, like for advertising, like, but
yeah, exactly. But yeah, then she does this like cool like superhero pose when she's done, like the guys are all unconscious and she does the like I just landed on the floor, but you have like what happened, like you I just watched nothing for 30 seconds other than just like stuff flying and grunts and
it's good for parody though.
Mm-hmm.
They do like all the different like quick cuts of people getting punched in the face, and it's just clearly like different hands, like every time.
Also just
like
an
black hand,
yeah, you know. Just an aside, I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, but just for the audience too, if you get a chance to on YouTube, look up John Wick Michael Jackson, and there's like a six-minute clip of they've replaced. So you know, in the first movie, John Wick he gets attacked at his house and he has to take like 30 dudes out.
Yeah,
they completely replaced his voice with Michael Jackson, and so he's like, jump out! It's like six, but like it's amazing. It's so over the top fit. Like, it just kills me because there's the one where he's like slowly pushing the knife and he's like, jump out! He's like, going in.
I did appreciate the hearkening back to like the me stabbing someone with their own knife thing.
Yeah,
I think at the end of the
well,
the
did
art,
it twice.
The art exhibit.
Yeah.
I thought I guess it's sort of the climactic scene where they're in the House of Mirrors or whatever. Sort of reminded me of Bruce Lee in was it Enter the Dragon?
It's Enter the Dragon, yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
I mean, it shouldn't have sort of reminded. It should have just flat out reminded you of
Enter the Dragon. It did. But it was cool. I thought it was well done.
I mean, there were several scenes, like, there were a couple different scenes in this movie. I can't remember what the other one I thought, where I was just like, well, this is basically out of another. Oh, well, I mean, when he goes to infiltrate the compound and kill the sister, like, that scene is basically like a lesser version of the club scene in the first John Wick. I was just like, okay, yeah. Like, down to the music and the flashing lights behind him and like shooting people in the crowd in time to the music while people run away. Like, it was exactly the same. But if it's cool, it's cool.
So. But there were other scenes, like when they were walking, him and Common were walking on opposite floors on the subway, and they were just like calmly, like, yes. Pew, 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 yeah. Having a douche-off fight. It was amazing.
His and Common's scenes are the best scenes in the movie. Yeah.
Now, I didn't realize Common had like some chops, but he did really well.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, I was telling Josh the other day that Hell on Wheels is a Wild West show, and it's got, I think it's Timothy Oliphant is the lead. But
I dig Timothy Oliphant.
It's not Timothy Oliphant. That's Justified. That's Timothy Oliphant. But anyways, it's fantastic. But Common plays a railroad worker who kind of runs the African-American workers. And he gets married to a like white girl who was like kidnapped by Indians or whatever. But he's like super fan. He's like one of the best characters in the show. And he's like a really good actor. He's a very serious actor. When I saw the show, I'm like, oh, the show's awesome. Oh, God damn it, a rapper. I was like, I'm out.
Yeah, but Common's not really a rapper.
I still love the, like, you either die a rapper or live long enough to see yourself in family films. Like, it's just like Tupac and then like Ice Cube.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I haven't seen Resident Evil yet. I want to see that.
It was enjoyable. I mean, if you liked any of them. Then you'll love this one.
I like Mila Jovovich. Mm-hmm. Kicking butt.
I will complain about this. My only real beef with the movie is that it was... Because Resident Evil is not a scary movie.
Yeah.
And their way of creating those jump scares is to literally destroy your eardrums.
Yeah.
Like, it was... I went to the bathroom. I was like... After 5 minutes, I was like, well, F this. And I went to the bathroom, grabbed toilet paper, shoved it in my ears, and went back. It was, like, really bad.
So take earplugs.
Wow, that is a glowing endorsement for seeing the movie in the theater.
It was awful. I mean.
Do you want to say hi to everyone?
Hi, Aurora.
Yeah, that's sort of my problem with modern like horror movies.
Well, there's so very few horror movies that are scary to begin with.
Well, but I mean, it's more just like silent, silent, silent. I'm like, oh man, this moment's really tense. Can't wait for my eardrums to rupture in about 3, 2, 1. Dang it, I didn't time it.
I just hate it because it's so cheap. Like, as soon as they do it, it's like loud noise, big thing, like flies, like comes at this, you know, and you're like, even if you jump, you're just kind of like, oh, you got me, movie. Like, I have human reflexes.
Yeah.
You
know? And then the person is like, are you scared? And you're like, no, I'm just deaf. Like, yeah, just, what?
Yeah. It's not scary. It's just like, that's just. It's just stupid. Like,
they just create tension.
Yeah. In the opening scene, she's basically in Washington and it's the post-apocalypse and she's riding like a motorcycle around and she goes to steal a motorcycle and then this giant flying like mutated creature. So it's like really quiet. She goes to the motorcycle and she's trying to like hotwire it. And then a big thing attacks her and it's just like out of nowhere, just the most ridiculous screeching, screaming, explosive noises.
Whoa. A big mutated thing attacks Mila Jovovich in a Resident Evil movie. Yeah. Spoilers, Nigel.
But the whole thing was
spoilers.
Like, it's quiet, it's quiet, it's quiet.
Well, we don't know whether she lived or not. Yeah.
That's true. That's
and then
a good
they
point.
Run your head over with a sound tank. And then 5 minutes of fighting just this giant, like, just noise machine. She jumps in, she, like, runs up and down the street and she like shoots it a couple times and it like slams into a wall and then she ducks into a car and then it's like quiet for a little bit while she's in the truck and you're like, God damn it.
Yeah.
And then of course roof rips off, butt monster's back is just like, they just kept playing like within the first 10 minutes they did it over and over and over. It was like, it would be quiet for like 2 seconds and then they would smash your face. Then be quiet for 2 seconds and they'd smash your face. I was like, okay, I'm done with this. Like, just stood up, got the toilet paper and then it made the movie tolerable. I was like, oh, this movie is great. Like,
if you go with earplugs, it's
that reminds
top
me
notch.
Of a, so you know Hideo Kojima, the Metal Gear guy. One of his very first games was this game called Snatcher. It's basically a point and click like adventure game, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm.
Was hoping you were going to say a point and click purse stealing game.
No, it's
Snatcher.
I love the name, but it's because they're these robots. They're like body snatchers.
Oh.
Anyway, there's this part in the game where you're doing this investigation of this like warehouse, and you're trying to hear like there's like this. There's this noise in the background that you're like, you know, one of the characters that you're with is like, hey, do you hear that? Like, and then in the classic like Kojima, like fourth wall break, they're like, turn the sound up.
You know, so you like turn this, and they intentionally like lower all of the sound effects for like this entire like area so that you actually do just like turn the sound up, like just to get it back to normal levels.
Mm-hmm.
And then it stays that way for a long time, to just to the point where like you're supposed to just forget about it. And then at the end, like you're running out of this warehouse and it blows up, and like that's full super volume. So it's like you're, and your speakers are even louder than normal because you had to turn the sound up because Kojima's a douche. But it's like supposed to be like, you know, like supposed to, because it makes you feel really, you know, engaged, like really like,
sure,
involved in the game because it's a super huge explosion. But like that kind of thing is just kind of,
yeah,
I don't know.
He's just literally trying to create a game to kill Colin.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it doesn't really have any relevance, I guess, to what you were talking about. But it
no, it's 100% because it's the same thing.
It's just
cheap
in the game instead of a movie.
It's just cheap and stupid. I mean, that would be amazing if he was more subtle, like The Ring, where it was like an ambient noise, like you know, a ghost chick started like whispering in or something, and it was like, oh Jesus,
yeah,
you know, or something. But no, instead, it's just like a tank smashing your face, and it sucks, and it just hurts your ears. And I don't know if it's like an old guy thing, like. Usually, as you get older, everything gets worse. Your hearing and all that stuff. But no.
Your body
like,
degrades.
Yeah, everything degrades and just, you know, stuff happens. But it's like, no, my ears shouldn't be this sensitive. I should just be not hearing all this stuff anyways. Like, but yeah.
Speaking of a tank smashing your face, I did forget to mention the best part of going to see John Wick 2.
Oh, God, the Fast and Furious.
Which was the Fast and the Furious trailer.
Isn't it? Yeah. Fate of the
Wait,
Furious?
That's the
Fate
Josh, of the Furious. That's the Josh beer. No, that's your beer. That's your birthday beer. Never mind. That's you. Happy birthday, Nick.
Yeah, happy birthday, Nick. Yeah, Fate of the Furious. Oh, yeah.
What's the shtick for this one?
Vin Diesel, I mean, Dominic Toretto, played by Vin Diesel, has betrayed his family for some reason, and they have to break the rock. The rest of them have to break the rock, and Jason Statham out of prison.
And
Jason Statham was the bad guy in the last film, but they're all going to work together somehow to figure out why Dominic Toretto is the bad guy this
time. Well, it's clearly Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Which is
what's oh wow, how does this affect you, Josh?
How it affects me is there's a sub that breaks through the ice on some kind of Scandinavian lake.
I got a brain tumor.
Literally chasing Lamborghinis.
And
also on the ice.
Also on the ice.
So it's perfect. And when the submarine breaks the ice, The Rock says, "We're going to need a bigger truck."
He does, in fact, say that. Yes.
Yeah. Which is the lamest reference to the Jaws.
I hope the sub shoots the torpedoes at them, and you can see the torpedoes like under the ice, and they're like driving on top of it, and they're like racing each other.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I hope there's a.
I hope many things about this movie.
I hope there's an 18-mile long runway.
Any pretense to keep Jason Statham in the movie is good because he has always been like the guy who was missing.
Oh, I mean,
the most natural Fast and the Furious edition that wasn't there.
Absolutely.
Jason Statham is still in the movie. Obviously, The Rock is in the movie, which is great. Kurt Russell is back as as the Belgian beer loving. Yeah, and now we have Charlize Theron.
I have not seen any of these movies beyond the first one.
Oh, you made terrible mistakes with your life.
I don't think I've ever seen Tokyo Drift or the second one.
No, obviously see all of them.
Also, the Tokyo Drift idiot is in this one, but they didn't really showcase them.
We're for sure binge watching all seven before we go to see eight as a group. Keith, you're coming back down here to do this.
Can we skip one? I've already seen one.
Nope.
Can we, because
it's really important.
Foundation.
It's really important to remember how one was a movie about illegal street racing and then
what happened?
they start at Point Break
and then it becomes Triple X somehow. And then
eventually they're actually just the Dominic Toretto's impromptu street racing family basically just becomes some kind of third world country and wages war on other countries. Oh, it's so dumb, and I'm so excited.
I mean, is there a drinking game we can develop that won't cause me to dive?
Yeah, just drink.
Yeah, if you're gonna while you watch it. Them,
oh, okay.
Whenever
it has to be Coronas, but
I was like the only or Belgian beers. You got to try this Belgian beer.
Actually,
thank God for Kurt Russell.
Only when Kurt Russell begins in the movie, you can switch over.
You can switch over to Belgian beer while Kurt Russell.
Damn, that's
on
a lot of Coronas.
Tokyo Drift, you have to drink.
I actually don't mind Tokyo Drift at all.
I haven't seen it, so I don't.
The main character sucks, but Han, the guy that plays Han is awesome.
The only part of that movie I've seen was the very last race. What stuck out to me the most was just that they cut back to the like
the spectators like 20 times during that race, and I swear to God, they reuse the same shot every single time. It's like they do a drift, you know, like a sweet like drift.
They definitely do.
And then they cut back, and then like it's like the chick, and she's like, you know, making some kind of smug face. She's like,
yeah.
And then they cut to the, and then it like switches over to the, you know, Japanese like mobster, and he's just like, and then, like it just, they just keep playing that same.
That is, I will say, Tokyo Drift. The reason, in my opinion, why it's the worst is not because necessarily the actors. Or, you know, they didn't have Vin Diesel or whatever. That hurts it. But the real reason is because every other Fast and the Furious movie, the stunts have gotten even more over the top and more insane every single time. And Tokyo Drift's the one where they didn't. Like, where they didn't.
Like, if you charted it on a graph, yeah, it was like, it there's like a.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely like a valley of, like, sweet stunts.
I don't know. I'm a fan of drifting, though. That's probably why I like that movie.
Sure. John goes home and drifts in his driveway all the time.
In the van.
I mean, you could make an argument that that's why I hit so many rumble strips, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you could make that argument, John.
Yeah. He's thinking about the movie when he's driving.
You could make that argument. Yeah. I don't think it would be good for you.
And then he starts drifting on a straight.
In the Muse van.
Yeah, in the Muse van, yeah.
Premier drifting vehicle.
They've demonstrated they can drift in anything.
That's true. That is 100% accurate. So, yeah.
When's that coming out?
A couple months, I think.
There's a lot of fun movies coming out this year.
Not soon enough.
There's a lot of sequels coming out this year.
Is anybody else excited for Kong Island or whatever it's called? Skull Island?
Not
Kong?
At all. Not the slightest.
I think that looks like fun.
I thought you said Con Island.
Yeah.
And then I thought they made a new Con Air movie. Yeah.
Don Jamaris Island.
Yeah. I think I'm pretty excited about it, actually. It looks pretty cool.
The only exciting part for me is John C. Reilly.
I just
Did they bring Jack Black back?
Nope. That would be a good reunion, though.
It's just how many more King Kong movies do we need?
Zero. This is the one that they should have
That's correct. That's the correct number. Yeah.
If they start off with this one, I don't like the monsters, though, the skull crawlers. Like, they don't look that cool.
Yeah.
It's like really large versions of the crappy Pitch Black dudes. Like, I don't. Yeah. Those are just. Kind of,
I mean, this didn't need to be a King Kong movie. You could have just made a monster movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Speaking of monster movies that are coming out. That are scary.
But then people wouldn't remember, Josh.
That's a good point, Keith.
I'm actually legitimately sort of excited for the new Alien movie, which is weird because
Danny McBride. Duh.
Prometheus 2?
It looks good.
Prometheus was so bad that
I
have a hard time being excited for it.
Prometheus was the Fast and Furious of sci-fi. It was amazing.
But it wasn't supposed to be.
The new Star Trek movie is the best.
I randomly watched it in the perfect headspace, and it was good for me.
The new Star Trek movie
is
the
best.
It was
okay, yeah. I enjoyed the crap out of it.
I thought it was.
I did not care about Charlize Theron getting run over by a big donut.
I thought the whole thing was total trash.
It was
trash-a-thon. Yeah,
fantastic.
I mean, Idris Elba was amazing in it.
Idris Elba was a forgettable character. Yes. When Idris Elba is a forgettable character, your movie's trash.
He wasn't forgettable. What are you talking about?
No, he was great.
Yeah, the time he banged Charlize Theron, and he like played a little accordion thing.
See, he didn't actually bang her. So
he did.
Clearly have forgotten.
He 100% went
he
there.
He tried.
No, you.
And Idris Elba got shot down.
No,
your movie's garbage.
As she walked away, she was like,
"He does
my room at 10 o'clock," and he's like, "Love the one you're with," because he knew he was going to get some. And then
he was singing the "Love the One You're With."
He
song.
Sealed that deal. Is
he
what he 100% went in there afterwards. It was off screen. Exactly. It was the John Wick of action.
Again.
And you didn't have to see it.
Idris Elba. You have a love scene with Idris Elba and Charlize Theron, and it's off screen. Your movie is garbage.
Yeah.
Would watch. No, just.
Yes, please. One, please.
Oh, God. Can you guys think of stuff that's happened in War Machine over the past week?
Yeah.
Other than like Una and Scarsfells and then like old witch thingy.
Oh, have we not talked about
the
We
haven't
yet?
Talked about the...
No,
it dropped.
The dynamic update happened like an hour after we recorded
podcast,
last week.
What was in that other than the Una 2 and Scarsfells stuff?
Kator got gutted.
Thing.
Kator tier list was adjusted. And...
Signar Theme Force was adjusted. They added 3 Stormsmiths, I think, for... One of the free options, I think.
Mm. I like how they can't call it erratas.
High Reclaimer.
Why did they call it dynamic updates and not...
Because they want to emphasize how dynamic it was.
They also don't want to confuse people, so...
I feel like it's more confusing calling it multiple things.
Well, no, because people are in this headspace where erratas happen every 6 months. and they want to make it.
I just assumed dynamic update was what MOBAs used, or world, or maybe World of Warcraft used.
I think you guys are overthinking it. I think that's they said that they were going to have more dynamic updates, and then they came out with these changes, and that's just what it's everyone's calling it. I don't know if those are words that they ever specifically used.
No, it's on the website. Like, the thing you can download is called dynamic updates, like the PDF.
Yeah, and there was a thread about it where Pagani came in and was like, yes, dynamic updates are different than erratas in that they are emergency fixes for serious problems, whereas the regularly scheduled balance erratas will still be every 6 months. Yeah, and dynamic updates are on no kind of schedule. They appear only when something is.
But then Pagani came out and was like, had the press release of like, those are your words, you used them. And then we quoted your words, and those are your words. And then that what happens when you use your words.
So good. God, perfect.
So
good.
So you're wrong.
You're wrong.
So good.
Yeah, apparently, I don't, maybe it was this week and it actually happened, but supposedly Rosie O'Donnell is going to be Steve Bannon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, did it already?
No. So what happened was they were talking about, you know, who could play it or whatever, and she like tweeted, you know, she was like, I'm in, like, I'll do that. And it was just, and then after that happened, we found out that Trump really hated the fact that Spicer was played.
Yeah,
exactly. And so then it was just like, I think it was sealed at that point. Yeah. And then like a couple of days later, she changed her profile picture
to her
dressed up like Steve Bannon, which is amazing.
I think it was just her face photoshopped onto Steve Bannon.
Either way, it's
didn't
good.
Her and Trump have a huge kerfuffle? Or
Trump has a huge kerfuffle.
Yeah. Well, I think he's had a huge kerfuffle.
Really, I mean,
literally
Trump
everyone.
Has just attacked her on a regular basis. She may have said one thing about Trump and he just went off in the most inappropriate way.
Had a back and forth, but he was basically like, she's a fat cow. That was like his response about it. It was like, oh, that's awkward.
Our president.
Yep.
Anyway, we should talk about warm-up.
Hail to the chief.
I have the dynamic updates up, so we can...
Yeah, I never need to go there. I just need to reference it vaguely by putting words in Pagani's mouth.
That's right.
That's where are we? And then we leave it at that.
Sorry, yeah.
It's good reference, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then. All right, so should we intro?
Oh, it says a rather.
Yeah. Yep, let's intro.
Mm-hmm.